Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm the creator, owner, and operator of Witter. And Mo.
Yes, Witter. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That's when women go on and tweet about meadows and rain, right?
No, that's when women go on and it's when everyone tweets about how much they love wheat. And Twitter had better watch its ass.
I guess so.
I've been looking into what DDP said, and I'm cutting back on the wheat. I may be allergic. I may cut it out of my diet completely. I don't want to have any wheat anymore, I'm thinking.
That's probably good. Well, you know, if you just, you know, don't have 9 meals a day.
No, I'll have 7.
Okay, good. All right, well, Destination X in the books. Lots of people got the Duke.
Lots of people got the Duke tonight. Let's talk about who got the Duke in the first match. The first match opened the show with, the video package was all on Kendricks and Abyss for the world title match.
Yeah, so we thought that was going to be the main event.
But it turned out to be the semi-main.
Yes.
From what we, you know, expected originally going to be the main, which is the Fallen Angel versus AJ Styles. And, you know, we thought that was the correct move. Turns out that the main event actually should have been the four-way match for the contract.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying, though. But anyways, we'll get there. Let's open. Samoa Joe Kazarian opens it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was good. It was very good, I thought. It was, you know, a decent opener. It wasn't one of those things that it really, and I don't mean this to be a negative, but I guess it kind of is. It did set the pace for the pay-per-view in that it wasn't blow away.
No.
And going into the pay-per-view thinking, okay, well, these guys know each other really well, and, you know, it's a match on the card. It took Joe out of it being a three-way with the hopes of, okay, he knows them really well, so they're going to have another blow-away match. And they didn't. There was nothing wrong with what they did.
Well, theoretically, in a lot of ways, though, I mean, what you want out of that first match is a good match that the crowd enjoys, but that isn't blow away often. You know, it's really good, get the pay-per-view on a good start, but not something that nobody else can live up to. And if that was its goal, then it certainly lived up to that. The problem is, the pay-per-view as a whole, I was going into it going, I want every match to be 5 stars. Every match has that potential, it seemed, or nearly every match.
Yeah,
and certainly
every
the pay-per-view.
Match.
Well, exactly. And the pay-per-view itself did not live up to that expectation. So, I mean, it depends on what your expectations were. If it's just a match to set the table for the pay-per-view, fine, it did its job.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going into this with just hoping this is going to be the best pay-per-view they put on in years and hoping that it can lead to something positive, changes within the company as far as the X Division being getting more focus, and people having more interest in it, then it's not. It didn't accomplish its goal as an opening match then.
Mm.
So Joe lost the match to Kazarian.
Yes, Kazarian did.
The crowd was heavily into Joe in this match.
Yeah.
We were talking, and you know, it was said that we thought that Joe should get the win. Joe is more money. So when he lost, I immediately thought, well, it's got to be because they're doing an angle with Joe his losing streak or his frustration or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anyways, we'll get
fucks
there later. Yeah, well, there's that, too. I believe, didn't you say something about Russo in this and when you were tweeting?
Yes, I believe that's when I started my, for people to be able to guess on Twitter what my over-under was going to be on how many times I wrote, fuck Russo. After this first match and Kazarian going over, leading us to the second.
What was it? 20,000? 20,000 over
100? 20,000, and it was over.
It was over.
Because that led us into a backstage sketch. Well, actually, they eventually showed clips of the three-way from Unbreakable 2005, and they were pushing the fact that, or talking about the fact that, Styles versus Daniels would be to determine who the best X Division wrestler ever was.
Yeah, and that's another thing, is they're constantly referring to that three-way and Joe's position in it from the videos subtly, not really putting it out there as being he was always there and he screwed, but it's always kind of in the background. Another reason why I thought he would maybe play some role later in the evening.
Yes.
It was the way it was positioned. But
you did.
I did not. You're right. We got a pretty shitty sketch.
Yeah, with Eric Young coming and talking to Curry Man and Suicide and that Sangria. Or whatever name is, Sangrinetto.
Yeah,
and,
well, he was supposed to have Danny Bonaduce as his tag team partner for his tag team match tonight, and Bonaduce couldn't show up, so somebody showed up, though. Who was that?
Oh, fuck. Shark Boy showed up.
Yeah.
doing his Stone Cold Shark Boy
Michelle, yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was awful. And then you go into... We didn't even go into that match.
I did have one thing funny at the end when they were trying to they couldn't hook up for a high five or whatever. Just, yeah, you know, but whatever. It's what Eric Young is. He's the TNA version of
Santino. Yeah,
Santino. He's a better wrestler, but not quite as entertaining.
Yeah,
I mean that's kind of what you got from him.
I mean he is entertaining, but it's just
not quite as entertaining as Santino.
I fucking hate Shark Boy.
Well, yeah,
like Shark Boy. Seriously, just stop with Shark Boy. Like.
First time I saw the the Stone Cold Start Shark Boy thing, maybe the second time even. It was kind of a backstage thing. It wasn't an ongoing gimmick. It was just something he did, and you're like, oh, that's a good impression. That was funny once.
And I think it was on their website they did it, and they said, that's a good impression. But
exactly, and then it's kind of like that where's the Black Machismo? They kind of went, oh, that got over, so let's do this again
with this guy, and
it didn't. And now I don't believe he's actually part of the roster ongoing right now, is he?
No, I don't think so. Come back. He came back for something with Robbie E one time and was like a – because it was a shark cage thing. So they had Shark Boy come out.
Well, he came out, and when he came out, obviously he didn't get much of a pop.
Yeah. I hate Shark Boy and wish he would never be on my television ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really – I'm pretty much indifferent towards Shark Boy. And now they faced
that's not the next match speaking of someone who I hope is never on my television again, Douglas Williams came out for his open challenge to anyone.
Yeah, we were sitting there going, who is it going to be? Could Chavo Guerrero, we knew, could not be available yet. Could it be the Hurricane? Spike Dudley, Jamie Noble.
Funaki.
Maybe you bring in a Jushin Liger, someone like that from overseas. You give a big name and have a fantastic match.
They did have a big name because more people watch him every week than buy the TNA pay-per-views, and that's Zack Ryder's father.
Yeah.
Came out.
Yeah. Explain why you said that.
Because he came out in like...
Well, who was it first?
Is some guy named Mark Haskins, who's from England. And apparently he did some shit on the England tour and oppressed enough for them to, of course, fly him in.
I probably flew himself
do this.
In.
I would hope so. And anyways, some fucking English guy that the live crowd, the Impact Zone, the idiots were chanting USA for the two English people. So
they did have one good chant here. They chanted, who are you?
Yeah, who are you? Yeah, well, who was he?
As annoying as they were all night, and as annoying as they always are, that who are you chant was good.
It's because they thought Charlie Haas was cutting a shoot promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, this is Mark Haskins. Fucking guy come in. He slipped a couple. He fucked up some spots.
He did not look good. It was not a good match. He fucked up. Like you say, he was dressed like John Morrison, kind of.
Like a poor man's John Morrison.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly. Like he went.
He doesn't have the charisma of Zack Ryder's father.
No.
And at the end of the match against this British, now Doug Williams had a. Came out with his British Invasion cronies, and he sent them to the back saying he has this.
Yeah, Magnus.
Then at the end of the match,
the
heel Williams, looks at this young kid who tried his best, and he lifts him up and shakes his hand, and kind of tries to give him the rub. And you're going, why? The match sucked. He sucked in it. He's the one who fucked up everything. I don't understand what that does for Williams. I hope they're not planning to keep this guy around, but it looks like it.
Oh, they probably will because he's not very good. So they will.
Yeah,
and he might be good. He might just had a bad first impression. Who knows? But he wasn't good. This wasn't good.
And this did not do anything. I mean, I immediately said to you, I think he's probably going to end up joining the British Invasion. But I didn't think they'd be lifting him up and shaking his hand. This was not as good as when Undertaker raised Jeff Hardy's hand after that
ladder
match.
On
Raw.
God no.
It doesn't. It didn't accomplish the same thing. So. But anyways, at least Williams won, and we can move on from this.
This Haskins guy, he looked like he went to Target and, bought the John Morrison Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Or Kmart, I guess, is where you buy that. But that's basically what he looked like. Anyway, next one, then we did get a great Austin Aries promo.
Fantastic promo.
Austin Aries was the star of that four-way, and it just was, just a great... Great promo.
Yeah, terrific,
And that brought us to the Generation Me, Max and Jeremy Buck, against fucking Eric Young and Shark Boy.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm going to, action isn't that bad, but I just find myself not caring already. You got people that are always losing on TV, or people that aren't on TV very much. You know, you got this same type of action we've seen now in two previous matches. There's no real different psychology being presented in any of the matches. They are all high spot X division matches, and already I found myself just going, "Nah, I'm not into this that much. Not as much as I had hoped. I had high expectations or hopes, at least.
You did. You had higher hopes than I did, but I was still looking forward to it and was disappointed at this point.
Yeah, just not bad action, but just not something I could get into. I just like
you know what? Again, as soon as I see Shark Boy. Like, my mind immediately drifted somewhere else, because I hate him that much. Like, I won't even care. He could be,
Go away heat?
Yeah, it is. It's X-Pac heat that the Shark Boys got, and it brought the match down to me. I mean, the action was decent, but,
Yeah, exactly.
Know, and they did this some stupid, because Eric Young is comedy, where he's got to lose his pants and have tights on underneath, and that gives him power, when he loses his original tights and just has these other tights on now, it's dumb.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Then they interviewed the Zima Ion, the guy I figured was going to come out with Orlando Jordan.
Looking like Ricky Ortiz. He's from the Philippines, though.
Apparently.
Because they only mentioned it 75 times.
Apparently.
And also you knew because of that accent he has, or doesn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good promo, I mean, not his thing, something he needs to work on. He's got potential in the ring as a personality and charisma. He has charisma, but his mic skills need some work. It's just that it was highlighted after that really terrific Austin Aries promo, that his promo skills, mic skills were not as up to par with Aries. But then again, I guess no one else on the night really was. I mean, Loki also cut a good promo, because they did give all four members of this match a backstage thing where all they talked about was how important it was to get to TNA. And that really did put over the match, and that's a good way to build the match. And everybody gets a little promo, and I applaud them for that. So.
No, and that was good. I mean, they did it throughout the show, too, so they broke it up. They didn't go one after another or have them all together or anything. That brought us to the Ultimate X match with...
I was really hoping the pay-per-view would go to another level here.
Yeah, it didn't. No, it didn't. It was, it wasn't... Again, it was not bad, not great. Again, they said this was... At the end, they said this was the 25th Ultimate X match that there's been. It's probably ranked about 14 out of 25 in terms of the best one. I couldn't obviously
actually,
name them
more
all.
Like 20. More like 20 out of 25. It was on the lower end.
20 out of 25. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I thought we were ranking.
It's on the lower end. It was nothing.
Middle
of the pack. It was just another Ultimate X match. There was a chance for a couple cool spots, but they didn't really turn out. It was Shannon Moore, Robbie E., Amazing Red, and your winner of the match, Alex Shelley. I don't know if we even mentioned in the last match that was Shark Boy pinned and defeated the Young Bucks, Generation Me. But just throw that out there then. There was a couple opportunities for a couple interesting spots, but so many of these matches have been done that you don't see it's difficult to continue the invention. But also just the finish with... Shelley getting it, everybody was just kind of lying down. He kind of slowly crawled over from the top and kind of fell down on the X and grabbed it. It was like kind of very anticlimactic.
It was, because it looked like Shannon Moore was setting up to do just, like the spot of the night kind of thing. Like this great big thing. And it just, he kind of just...
Because he went right up to the top, past the
he
X,
went
past the...
past the rope X, the, up to the scaffolding. And it looked like an Amazing Red... was visibly getting ready for a spot with Moore and climbing the rope part as slowly as Moore was walking across the scaffolding. So you knew with the two of them that they were plotting a spot, that something was going to happen. And I was thinking, oh, he's going to splash it. Like, what's he going to do?
And
he just kind of came
and
pulled them down. Yeah, and it was like,
I thought that Red was the best performer in the match. He probably made the most mistakes, but he also had the most – he looked like he had the most effort and certainly the most interesting spots and showed some great athleticism and some quickness and
Robbie,
unique moves. And,
Robbie just doesn't belong.
Robbie, what was it you said? You made a comparison between him and Zack Ryder.
Well, they're doing the Jersey – gimmick, right? And it was when he was climbing up, and you could see his hair. You could see Robbie E's hair. And I said, you know, well, Zack Ryder's always got to sort of take care of Spike your hair. But and then he had said, you know, that Ryder lives the gimmick, mm-hmm. right? And Robbie E performs that gimmick.
That's what you said.
And that's the difference there, is that Zack Ryder's not – well, he is a character – you get the feeling that he's just kind of goofing around with his buddies, right? And that's kind of his character. Whereas it looked like this Rob Echoes here, Robbie E, you know, would do anything but this Jersey gimmick
if you
met him in real life, right?
Exactly. He's not live. It's just something that is a gimmick they gave him, and he just does it when he's there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Duke Drossy is not a garbage man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He wasn't?
I don't. Maybe he is now.
Actually. Probably is now.
Yes, but still, no. But so that was the thing, and I agree with you that Amazing Red looked the best in the match, and Chris Sabin came out after to congratulate Alex.
That is
Shelley,
the one thing. Now you have Alex Shelley. He is a number one contender. He has the chance to go after the title, and we did say that it would be interesting for them to. You referenced Rick Martel.
I said Chris Sabin when he comes back, which is still going to be about 6 months away.
Yeah.
Like, he's a while away. I said when he comes back, he needs to Rick the Model Martel Shelley's ass.
Idea being that Shelley is the X Division champion, and he comes back, Shelley's the only problem I have
with that. Well, I don't think that. I think what you do is you don't even make him the champion, and you have another undercard feud that's not for a belt, and you just have them come back. What you need to do now is have Shelley off television, or not Shelley, Sabin. Been off television for, you know, forever and a day until he's ready to come back. And the first time he comes back, because what happened with Rick Martel is that he was hurt, and the first time he came back was WrestleMania 5 mm-hmm. to team with Chico Santana against the Brainbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chico hit him.
Tito.
And Chico hit him, and he walked out on him.
Yeah.
And that's what needs that, and they turn heel. And that's what Sabin needs to do, is be able to, you know, give Shelley a title run, sure,
yeah, basically,
but have him lose it
before. Tito was pressuring him to come back into the team when he was already kind of, Martel was already kind of presenting, I don't know if I want to go back, we've already been champions, we've done that.
Yeah, maybe I want to go on my own.
Yeah, exactly, and then he felt pressure, and then he got hit by his partner. And
the flying
jalapeno
hit him,
right? Why am I even here?
Right?
Exactly, and walked out. But there's two problems I have a few things I can say about that. Number one, tremendous matches and probably a hot feud. So that's the positive. The negative is, though, is they're so – I mean, they're such a tremendous team. Their teamwork is so tremendous.
That's true.
There's so few great tag teams. I'd like to see a tag team division built up mm-hmm. that I really would be sad to see these guys split apart. But on the other hand, you could – we have seen it many, many times where – you know, teams split apart, and then they get back together down the road when the time is right, too. So
in TNA, that's usually the next week.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, Generation Me.
That's right. Yes, yeah. They said they were putting their brotherly shit aside for the good of Destination. I don't know.
Ah, whatever.
Stupid. Anyway, so
Russo.
Yes. Oh, fuck Russo. low-key interview next.
Yes.
It was all right.
Yep, it was good.
All right. We
talked
not
about, as good as Aries, but almost as good,
We were talking about Low-Key during his match and how, you know, you were talking about how they should all get the contracts except for
Zion. Well, what happened was everybody, they chanted for everybody. Like at the beginning of the match, you know how they do the dueling chant. Let's go AJ, let's go Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
Instead, here in this one, they just went, everybody, because, you know, this crowd is... As Jimmy Cordero said, they chant to entertain themselves or to put themselves over, not because – and that's what they were doing, and they thought that everybody thing was good. I just thought they should have been chanting everybody. The chant should have been everybody but Zion, because really, who is he? Like the others, I could understand. They are – you know, people would be interested in them, but
Yeah,
we'll get to Low-Key in that match later.
All right, we'll talk about Low-Key after that. All right, well, so anyway, he gets his promo off, and it was just a
second best. It was certainly better than Swagger's, or not Swagger, what's his name?
Evans,
thank you.
Swagger.
Well, that's the Jack thing.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
I get
it. His promo also
wasn't
very good.
He looked like Little Sheamus.
Yeah, well, yeah, he did. And his promo wasn't very good either, but at least he's just...
He has a different kind of charisma.
A different kind of charisma, and blow away at maneuvers in the mm-hmm. ring. Zion, like I say, might have talent, but he doesn't show that yet.
That's, yeah. And then we got to the best match of the night. So far, with RVD against Jerry Lynn.
And the amazing thing is, you say it's the best night of the match so far.
Or the best match of the night, actually.
I would go with the four-way ahead of that, but it's pretty close.
I meant so far. You said best night of the match.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Huh, well, that too.
You're dumb.
Yeah. I'm drunk.
Mm.
No, I'm not, yeah. Folks. We don't do that anymore.
No.
At least I don't. Anyways.
I'm a Christian.
I'm an edge. Anyways, what the fuck was I saying?
It wasn't important. RVD fought Jerry Lynn.
Yes.
And
we say best match of the night.
So far.
So far. I'd say first 75% of it, though, I wasn't that into it. And then the last, quarter of the match, I really got into it and I thought, you know what, this is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of interesting because they were fucking up moves. They were both men were a step slower.
Yes, they were a step slower than they were 11 years ago, yes.
Yeah, both men. Yeah. But it's very impressive that Lynn came back at his age from that injury
mm-hmm.
and went at this pace and this level and did everything. There was a
Van Damme actually
took a hard way shot and was bleeding over his right eyebrow. It was pretty nasty.
It was, yeah. My favorite spot of the match is when RVD went for that step over kick to the face,
mm-hmm.
and Jerry Lynn got his hands like a foot away from his face to block that kick.
Well, he once had his face crushed by Van Damme in a match, so he wasn't taking that shit again.
Well, fuck no, I don't blame him. But he knew, and that just made me laugh. He's like, oh yeah, don't forget shit like that.
My favorite one was the sunset flip where instead it turned into a power bomb where Van Damme went like three-quarters of the way across the ring
in the back of the chair.
And that was where I kind of turned around the match and was like, you know, this is pretty damn good. These guys are certainly working hard.
They're getting it,
and they're taking some big bumps, and the idea that Jerry Lynn at this point was carrying the majority of the match and getting the majority of the near falls but couldn't quite put him away.
Yeah.
Made for an interesting story. And, I give it a little, probably a 3.5 stars. I think it was a good match.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's probably
about the best
match of the night so far, like you said.
Yeah. And it was, it was really good. And at his age and the injuries that he's had, and Jerry Lynn, and I think, they paced it out, right, which is why you're saying, not really into Moat three-quarters of it, but then they got the crowd going and they went home strong, to bring it up there. So that brings us to the four-way for the contract
mm-hmm.
between Jack Evans.
Match of the night.
Austin Aries, Zema Ion, and Caval, and that was the match of the night, and it was largely it was a four way spot fest.
It was, but it was a good pace. There wasn't a lot of psychology behind it.
No,
that's what keeps it from being as good as say that three way match between.
But that's
Joe,
what I was expecting when I got
an
X Division match.
Yeah.
An X Division pay per view. I wasn't expecting a lot of psychology.
Well, you look at Senshi there, Caval, Loki, whatever the fuck. You look at him and you're
Lay Cool's friend.
He's really stiff. And then you look at I'd hate to take his moves. He's so stiff. Then you look at Jack Evans and you go, I'd hate to take his moves because they're so dangerous.
Yeah.
It's, almost sloppy, but pulls them off. But everybody got in some really cool spots. Everybody looked good. But there was no question. Right from the time he entered the ring, right from the time he cut the promo on the back.
Yeah.
The Austin star, A-star, Austin Aries, absolutely
A-double.
Stands out.
Yeah. He was... you come into the ring, at this point, no, I just want to get a little sidetracked before we get into the match, because it was at this point that when I'm talking about it is, I think I tweeted the fact that Christy Hemme sucks anus as an announcer.
Yes.
Holy
shit. And I tweeted something like, whoever it is conducting the backstage interviews looks like she ate SoCal Val.
That's true.
Yeah.
SoCal's a little bit heavier than she used to be. But
yeah.
The thing is Christy Hemme just horrible. And this is when, I don't know where she was. I think she was thinking that the Zema Ion was coming out first. Because she said, from all the way, and he was going to say from the Philippines. I assume so. I don't know. But then, either that or it was from all the way from Tacoma, Washington, Jack Evans, maybe. I don't know. But it's from all the way, and then A-double came out, and he's just, and she just goes, Austin Aries.
She kind of goes, Austin Aries.
Yeah,
I mean, she sucks.
It was just bad, and it's awful. And then she's not Lillian Garcia.
No, but I will say this about her, I'd fuck her.
Yeah, I don't know about those tattoos she's got now though.
Yeah, on the arm.
Yeah. I'm not big on that.
Nevertheless, I'm not big on that either. But I will say this.
Oh, you'll take anything.
I'd fuck her.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so that I just wanted to point that out because they've been bugging me at that point all night to how shitty of an announcer she was. And that was just like the icing on the cake, the topper.
Well, let's
get
to the announcing as long as you're bringing that up. She wasn't the only shitty announcing of the night.
Oh, fuck no. No. Just the whole thing. Like, Jeremy Borash and Mike Tenay just talking about all of the action that we are seeing here in this.
Yeah, that's Tenay. Tenay just going through the motions, robotic. Borash is trying, but he's got that announcer voice, and it's just a little annoying, and he doesn't really add much.
He's got a ring announcer voice. Yeah. Like, he's just got kind of that nasally ring announcer voice that he's just not, he's just not a color commentator.
No, he's really not.
He was doing all right a little bit, I found, when he was doing a little bit of the, analysis on some stuff. I didn't mind him so much there, going, well, you know, this is 25th Activision match, and this and that, and giving a little bit of the back, but I mean, other than that, I just was not. They needed Don West here.
That was who we had mentioned earlier in the night, that Don West should have had this spot with Tenay, because West, if nothing else, just brings the enthusiasm, you know, and just pumps everything up. So if something's stupid, he often says it's stupid and talks to the fans too.
Yeah.
Available.
Him or Mike Hogwood.
Yeah.
You know.
But what, he wasn't available? Why not?
I said if he wasn't available.
If he wasn't available. And what the fuck is he doing?
Well, I don't know. He's selling merchandise, making him some fucking money, for God's sake.
Yeah,
someone
has
to.
He's the only most valuable guy in the company, probably.
Yeah, probably is, from a revenue perspective.
So anyways, anything else you wanted to say about...
No, just the announcing, I thought, brought the show down a bit of a level. Just because they weren't excited about it, so I found myself not being excited about anything.
Or just when because they weren't excited and because it was a robotic, in the next match, the semi-main event, when they were supposed to sell the big spot, it didn't come across as nearly as important. It's not JR selling that big spot to you, you know?
It wasn't even Michael Cole.
Yeah, exactly. It comes across very, very phony. Austin Starr did get the win, though.
He did in a great four-way. And
he's awesome. Even leaving the ring, you're like, he's a star. He has that CM Punk confident.
Yeah.
No matter what.
That's who he reminded me of when he got out of the ring. I said that. I said, he just reminds me of Punk, right?
Yeah, he has that, maybe it's not the size, but you just, there's something about his presence and his talent you can't deny.
No, exactly.
And he was really, really good.
You know what he isn't, though? He's not tough enough.
No, exactly. That was your joke. I stole it, though.
Didn't make the cut for tough enough.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Well, because they wouldn't have been able to not deny him, and they didn't want that same situation as they had with Loki. Now, you said you think Loki is a little overrated at this point. You're not.
Yeah, I'm not a big, Loki fan. I don't hate on him or anything. It's just, I think the way that I described it to you is that if I was starting a company, I don't know that I need a Loki. I need an Austin Aries. I need a Jack Evans. I don't know that I need Loki.
See, and I disagree with that. I think Loki, and even in a match like this, I don't think is the best showcase of his ability. But even here, he's good. You can cut the promos. He's got a funny
really?
Presence.
Really?
See,
and I didn't even like the promo to me. It was very cookie cutter and just...
I like the promo. I think he's got something, but I'll say this: it doesn't look like he's. I mean, he's obviously not sticking around, but I think there is a chance that he has the type of relationship with them where he could perform maybe four or five matches a year, and that's all he needs to do.
I don't know about that. He doesn't exactly have the best reputation.
No, he's difficult to work with, which is why you'd want to bring him in four or five times a year. But he hates to do jobs. That's one of the things, though. If you're bringing him only a few shots a year,
because it's real.
Yeah.
So, which is another.
He is the one who took the pin though to Austin. From the.
That's right.
From
he did.
Austin Aries from the paintbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting as well. And Swagger, Swagger. I did it again. Evans.
Evans
has that. He has such original and athletic maneuvers.
Yeah.
That.
When he does the breakdancing kind of stuff, not a spinneroony, but a handstand.
You know what? His maneuvers kind of remind me of a young Jeff Hardy. In the they kind of look like, say, sloppy and dangerous. But you can't deny when you're watching, you're going, well, that's pretty fucking spectacular.
See, they remind me of a young AJ in that I never thought that, especially the where Jeff Hardy was in WWF, that they don't really allow you to kind of break through. And I mean, like doing a swanton or doing, you know, they did some
well,
of the
every
ladder
move
stuff.
That, every,
but,
I think a part of it is that a lot of times I watched Jeff Hardy and went, he's willing to do a move right now that's going to take off 5 years of his career, and he doesn't give a shit. And Evans kind of has that to me where I'm going, he would do anything. He'll do anything, and he doesn't care if
he
it's going to
yeah.
hurt him or you know take off time in his
and
career.
That's, yeah, and, but that, I think, I mean, realistically, I think all four should probably come back in and be part of the division if they are going to ever do anything with the division.
Theoretically, yeah.
I mean, I would, you know, but I would put that.
Well, speaking of which, we had wrestlers who came out at the end of the next match. Were all these guys out, or was it only Austin Aries who came out?
I don't know. I only saw Aries, but I mean, who
well, let's get to this next match.
Yeah, Abyss versus D. Brian Kendrick here, which was a semi-main, as I said. I mean, it was the part that was promoted in the opening montage there, so I figured, oh, okay, and it was for the title, so I mean, I thought, oh, maybe they're going to go with that as the main. I agree with that, I agree with the positioning they did here.
It's really funny, though, because neither guy came out to much of a crowd reaction, and you had the crowd was so hot at the end of that last four-way, mm-hmm. the chanting, sign everybody.
Yeah, they're clever.
Yeah, but just the fact that they weren't into this match, I thought, okay, it was just poorly produced or booked match. It turned out that they weren't into anything after this
either. They died. I mean, that four-way killed the crowd.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny in that, how that happens, because I'm trying to go, why did it kill the crowd? But I have my theories on it. We'll get to that probably at the end of the show and kind of look back on it. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what ended up happening was Kendrick won the belt. They got to a spot where this was the first ref bump of the night. And was it this match?
Abyss was beating the shit out of him in the early part of the match, right? And then he'd go read his little Art of War book and... And Kendrick was supposed to be, you know, Kendrick's hard way cut him, or he got cut hard way.
Somehow on the,
again. And there was supposed to be a spot there where Kendrick's, despite that, getting the shit kicked out of him, was just willing to fight back as a fiery baby face and hope to get the crowd in.
And that was supposed to get the crowd. It was, to me, it was like, and what I thought about when that happened is when Abyss was cut and then he kind of staggered back, is that was the point in the last fight of Rocky IV. When Rocky cut Drago, and they're like, oh, the Russians cut, and it's a bad cut. And then the music started playing, and that's when Rocky was starting to get his comeback because he just got his ass kicked for the first couple rounds.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be the crowd getting into it. That's what, oh, my God, Abyss is cut. And the crowd is supposed to kind of get into that, and they kind of sold it, but then the crowd didn't care.
No, the crowd didn't care. And also, they obviously had the small guy against the big guy and getting his ass kicked and keep on getting up and trying to knock him down, and he can't. And that usually leads to, like you had Hulk Hogan, you know, with Andre, where he can't knock him off his feet, and then finally he's punching him, and the guy staggers, and finally one last clothesline, you know? He's hitting him, he's clotheslining
him,
he's
goes
staggering,
the tree.
Finally, and there he, yeah, exactly.
Down to
so
one knee,
thought,
right?
So, yeah, exactly, and the crowd went crazy. And you're expecting that here.
Thing there,
then
though,
all of a sudden it's out of the ring, and then Kendrick hits like a flying drop kick, and he's down, and he pins him, and it's not sold. It's not building up to it. He wasn't staggering. So it's just all of a sudden the giant was down, and
well,
it wasn't.
Exactly. And the difference there, though, is that Andre was 17,000 pounds.
Yeah.
But the
only?
Thing – yeah. The thing was is, yeah, then Kendrick, I think he cross-bodied him and got him down, and and Mike Tenay went.
And then he had some. Yeah, he had
Kendrick,
a few pinning attempts.
Kendrick goes for the cover. It's like that was it. It was like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah,
you know.
But then we got to.
Oh,
I
well,
had
then,
at okay, the
then you get
of the night.
Then you get the ref bump though.
Yeah.
Then you, yeah.
Well, I had a beginning at the night. Had said, and I had said this a couple to you earlier, and I was really, really scared that what they were going to do tonight was end the show, or at least during the show, do this big angle instead of just giving us great action. Trying to do a big angle around the X Division and have – I was really scared we were going to have Immortal come out and beat the shit out of the entire X Division.
Yeah.
And that was my fear. So there's a ref bump.
There's a ref bump, and then next thing you know, who comes sauntering down but Eric Bischoff.
Yes.
And then Eric Bischoff comes in and looks at Brian Kendrick, and Kendrick pauses for a bit. And at this point, I'm thinking Russo's here, so he's going to swerve. and Kendrick's going to join him.
Yeah.
But no, he punches him, and then he goes down, and then Bubba Ray, Scott Steiner, and Gunner, my favorite guy, he comes down. They come down, and they start beating on Kendrick, and then, like, just the A-team, I think, comes out. Don't they, like, Shark Boy and shit?
Well, I don't think it was even Shark Boy at this point. It was
some fucking undercard,
like,
X Division guys.
Like four
come
or five,
out.
Yeah, four or five X Division guys came out. Yeah. And Immortal, these three Immortal guys. Well, I guess four. Was it four?
Three. It was just if you count Abyss,
right?
Yeah.
They were. I think Abyss was still down. Though, so it was like these three guys against like four or five X Division guys, and they just continued to beat the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the X Division's looking really bad, and this is like exactly what I was feeling.
Yeah.
But
and then a second round of X Division guys.
Everybody
came out.
Else, except for maybe AJ and
Daniels and Joe.
Like, I think everybody else.
I think even Kazarian was out there.
Yeah,
he was out there at the end at least.
I think everybody else came out there, and now it was like 12 or 15 on four, and they're beating the shit out of them. And through that. A roll-up allowed Kendrick to get the belt. And
Hebner counting from outside the ring, just smacking the side of the ring. That was stupid, too.
Yeah.
But at least the fucking look at the shoulders. But, I mean, whatever. He gets it. I mean, the finish, I mean, the crowd. This was the thing the crowd was into most because of the wild brawl, and the crowd popped. But, I mean, Kendrick, that was a joke.
Well, it doesn't. What the fuck does it accomplish?
Well, it doesn't.
Kendrick's isn't more older. The X Division.
You know what
isn't
it accomplishes? It makes.
It gets the title off the monster. But I mean, you got Immortal leaving the ring, and Bubba kind of jawing at Abyss.
Well, they're all pissed off at Abyss, and then Abyss shoves them. And so when you say what does this accomplish, I'll tell you exactly what this accomplishes. And as we record this right after Destination X, they haven't recorded the Impact tapings tomorrow. But what this does is that Immortal is in the ring to open Impact next week and call out Abyss and give Abyss shit and go to beat the shit out of Abyss, and beat the shit out of Abyss, and whatever the match is at the end of the show that will involve Bubba Ray, Abyss will come in and help Bubba Ray, and it'll all just be a big swerve. So
that's
Abyss
possible.
Will be a babyface for 2 hours.
One of the things they went off the air with, and they're talking about how their next event is Hardcore Justice, is they're bringing that back because, thank God they're not bringing back any of the ECW guys.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Oh, fuck.
Lupus could be back. You don't know. But,
the guy in the commercial was Abyss, because, you know, Abyss is their hardcore extreme guy.
Yes.
So he's obviously going to play a major role in whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Well, you say obviously. Again, you say this like this is a company that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, but they do have long-term plans, theoretically, for the booking. That's one thing they do.
I don't know that they do anymore. I think that since Hogan and Bischoff have come, that's kind of gone by the wayside.
No, they already know they're going to have Sting versus Hogan at Bound for Glory.
No, seriously,
they do have the Bound for Glory matches, and they are back. Backwards booking to that, to a large degree.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Abyss being featured in the hardcore promo means that he's going to have a big thing. I mean, I'm sure he'll be there, but I don't know that really would matter. But anyway, that's what it was. It was just kind of a joke title,
and
they put a bunch of
confetti
and shit.
Fucking covers the ring, and it's just...
I mean, they tried to get it off as a moment. It just didn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make the X Division look good to have 20 guys against four in order for them to be able to beat them. And even though the crowd is chanting X Division, you know...
But the crowd was there just to entertain themselves.
Yeah,
so.
Who gives it? Because the Impact Zone crowd blows balls. So,
yeah, the crowd was just there.
And if any of you are listening, you blew balls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You blew balls. You blew balls.
Dun, 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 dun.
They have blue balls. Okay. Next one.
I don't, because of your mom.
Yeah. Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles. And it's the best X Division wrestler in history.
Well, that was basically what was on the line.
Yeah.
Even more important than the belt. Two guys who have left the division, who have come back essentially to decide who's the
just
best ever.
Come back to grace them with their main event presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the crowd could have given a shit.
It was weird. It was about a half an hour, I think, the match went.
Yeah.
It seemed like it went longer because it was, you know what it was? I did think that the crowd heard it. I mean, like, they were building and they had some spots, some dives.
There was one or two fuck-ups, more than you would have seen when these guys performed against each other. It was not quite as smooth a match as when they performed against each other a few years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as fast-paced. You described it well when you said they're doing high spots in slow motion. So they either need to slow it down and have more of a psychology pace, or they need to be able to have a faster pace.
Speed it up. And this was about, you know, 20 minutes in, and I'm like, well, they're probably blown up, so they can't really speed it up, or, you know what I mean? And so it was, I don't know. And part of it might have been
a lot of good spots, a lot of good wrestling, good moves, good drama, everything. And yet somehow I wasn't that into it, and neither was the crowd. The crowd was not into this at all.
And
a few of them were trying to get chants started, and they just
The crowd was dead, and then all of a sudden people started, this is awesome, and it's like, no, it's not, because it was awesome.
Yeah, but they couldn't even get that going as well as they. Like, the crowd was so hot earlier in the night.
Do you think the crowd just didn't think that Daniels had a chance?
No, I don't think that's what it is. Let's finish the match, and I'll tell you what I think. My theory on this evening and why it didn't quite work as well as
AJ won 1-2-3.
Yeah.
So, what did you think overall? It was about a 30-minute match. There were some dives. It was slow. There was some spots. I mean, Daniels was going for submissions that didn't get over.
He won with the spiral tap, Styles did.
Yes.
Crowd was chanting. Some of them were, at least a few that knew the move.
Yeah, there was like five people in the front row in the corner there that were chanting it. And it's fine. I mean,
and then they did the Davey Boy Bret Hart finish where, you know, Daniels is pissed off and he's going to leave, and Styles is offering him his hand, and then they come back and they shake.
I'm sure someone did that before them. I know what you mean. But, and then they come back and they hug and everything's all, you know, tutti-frutti and great.
And then they go off the air.
Yeah. Plugging Sting versus Ken Anderson for free on Impact this Thursday.
Anyways, so I think here's what the problem was with this match. Is that it kind of shows the problem with the agents. I mean, if you'll go back to Extreme Rules or even a TLC, Money in the Bank coming up, you see it many times. You saw
Money in the Bank, yes.
Yeah, Money in the Bank coming up. Yeah, Elimination Chamber earlier. When you get more than one, multiple matches of the same thing,
right.
WWE does a good job of making sure that these matches don't repeat spots.
Yes. Different stories are being told, right?
Different stories are being told in every match.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when the first match features a tope over the top rope, and the fourth match features it, and the seventh match features it, I understand it's an X Division pay-per-view, but there needs to be a going, okay, guys, this is X Division. You guys are going to be the ground-based version of X Division.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to be the extreme version. You guys are going to be – there needs to be something to set the matches apart.
Well,
because otherwise what you're doing is blowing out the spots. And then by the time you got to that main event,
mm-hmm.
That's why the crowd, I believe, wasn't into it, because they had seen everything.
And this had every opportunity to do that when you think of, okay, you get your opener, you just get going with a few things.
Yeah.
Then you have a comedy tag match, even though it involved fucking Shark Boy. You had a comedy match. You had...
But there were many spots in that comedy match that also happened during the main event because of the style of the
That's what I mean. Exactly. And then but you could have done it differently, so you just had your comedy match. You had your Ultimate X match, which gives, you know, unique and different spot opportunities, right? Yeah, exactly, in theory. And you had, you know, your big versus small match there with Abyss, and then you had, if you wanted to do a ground base, you had a Doug Williams open challenge, right? I mean, you could have had...
But his opponent was doing every single move that you later saw, you know...
Well, but he wasn't executing it.
No, he wasn't.
So you wouldn't have known.
But that's the thing, is that I think it's just really... And by the time the main event comes out, no matter how good it is, it's the same thing that they've seen because they haven't done a good enough job. And this is where the agents need to be come in, and the long-term, the booking and everything needs to be do a better job in TNA to present different stories within the matches. And understand, just because it's X Division, it's okay to have a match where you slow things down. The only match where I think they really slowed things down and ended up being the second-best match of the night was RVD and Lynn.
You know what? I'm going to bring in... I just thinking, I'm going to bring Mark Haskins in. And I'm going to bring him in with a blue sequined Stormtrooper mask.
Mm-hmm. Because he's clumsy?
Because he's the Shockmaster.
Yeah.
Yes. Shockmaster Mark Haskins.
That works.
Money.
Money.
That's money.
He fell on his arse. He fell on his arse.
He fell on his knee, and Doug Williams could do that.
Doug Williams could do
that. There you go.
Play the Davey Boy role.
This is tremendous. Why book this right now?
Yeah, I wish you were booking it.
Oh, man, that would have been great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, you know, So overall,
Well, let's look back, because we just did a ROH pay-per-view.
Yeah, we just watched the iPay-per-view a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and let's look back, okay? Comparing the two events, TNA has better presentation. There's no question of that. I think that a lot of the things they did right was their interviews and their video packages kind of were UFC countdown style in some degree.
Well, their countdown show, yeah, was very good.
Not just
their
countdown show, but they showed some clips like that during the
pay-per-view. Well, of that. They took that countdown show and just broke it up, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. I mean, I have always been able to do without James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to do that once at one pay-per-view, that's fine. But he's always there, and the Nexus of Humanity and all that bullshit.
I don't know who was there tonight. It wasn't him. It was terrible.
What? Well, it's the same guy. It's the same guy it always is. It's not actually James Earl Jones. It's just
I know. It sounds like him.
It's always just... Yeah, it was awful. And again, when you talk about that the video packages, yeah, definitely. I mean, they've got a bigger budget than Ring of Honor. That came across, and lighting-wise, it came across better. Production-wise, I guess it's just a little bit better. But
Yeah, TNA, though, did some things right in the presentation of the matches, trying to build up the importance of some of these matches. That they're ahead, I think, they didn't have a match, a video preview for a match after it occurred, like ROH did.
Right, when they played in the intermission. Yeah,
so you're going to give TNA the edge there. Now, announcing.
I give, that's tough. Announcing.
That is tough, because both blew.
Yeah, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't, that's, I, you know, the shit all around, really, there is. I don't know of the four of them. I think Jeremy Borash of the four of them probably did the best spots.
Yeah.
And then probably, I mean.
I lean very slightly towards TNA, but not good announcing on both sides.
Oh, I just know. I don't lean towards either one of them. I don't even, you know what, I just put it on mute.
Yeah.
You know, I just let the crowd
go. Speaking of mute, who had a more annoying crowd? Because we bitched about the crowd at both shows as well.
Oh, TNA by far in a much more annoying crowd.
Yeah. I mean,
ROH, they threw the fucking streamers in every match.
Yeah.
Great. You know, and that was stupid. But
ROH crowd was poorly mic'd.
Yes.
Hot the entire night. They were certainly hot during the main event compared to,
Our friend Jared, you know, he did say that, you know, that the crowd was really good live.
Yeah.
And,
Hey, Jared.
Anyway, said the crowd really was good live. So, you know, it was a miking issue, which I would go back to the production that we saw.
Production.
So if we're going to do that, we'll go back to the production, and you know, we've already given TNA
we'll
that.
We'll give the crowd, though, to
ROH had a better crowd, definitely.
So TNA has a crowd that both had a combination of being annoying with their stupid chance of trying to get themselves over and
this
all this
is
bullshit.
Awesome. Sign everybody. Fucking going back and forth.
Exactly. And then it also combined that with the fact that they didn't stay hot through the whole show. So, in general, the crowd would go
and the thing
TNA.
Was,
so, or the crowd would go ROH.
ROH had a better crowd, definitely.
Yeah. So then it comes down to the booking.
To the in-ring.
Well, not the in-ring, actually. That's a different thing. To the booking. Who had better booking?
I don't know.
ROH had better booking, I think.
I guess. I mean, I just...
Because they didn't have any...
What are you talking about booking, though? I mean, the only thing the only thing they quote-unquote booked was the fucking thing with Eric Bischoff and Immortal coming.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, that was shitty booking.
ROH,
if you look at the way ROH booked the Steen return, you look at the way...
Well, that's why I would give the edge to ROH.
Yeah,
I would. I definitely would. I'm just saying that with TNA, there really wasn't anything
The Christopher Daniels match and El Generico, the way they booked that was very smart.
Yeah, I mean, just saying that the TNA didn't do a lot of booking, I guess. I mean, I guess, you know what, I'll take that back in that. When I think back now, again, with over 20,000 fuck Russos, they did do some book. ROH gets a big edge there.
Yeah.
They didn't have Eric Young. They didn't have, you know...
Eric Young, Shark Boy, and the Haskins bullshit. And,
yeah, I mean, they didn't have a good Colt Cabana match.
Okay.
How you doing, Colt Cabana? But...
How you doing, Jared?
They just, you know... They didn't have a foil for Colt Cabana on the pay-per-view, but, you know...
Yeah, exactly.
And they also didn't have a stupid.
But
it,
he
Eric
was in the ring
sketch,
with somebody
right?
to push him, right? Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I'll lean towards ROH. So then it does come down to the in-ring action, and it's funny because both pay-per-views probably. It's strange because it's weird because both pay-per-views probably had three matches I really enjoyed, and then a bunch of matches like you know was pretty much. Didn't care about one way or the other. Or just, you know, there and they're nothing terrible, but nothing that I would really, you know,
yeah.
give a shit about. So, based on that, I think
split.
That the... I think the action top to bottom, I actually think was better on the TNA show. I think their worst match was still a little better than the worst match from... Because, I mean, it's not like... I mean, the angle was good with Steen, but the match... that Steve Corino was in, for instance, wasn't terrific, right?
Right.
So I think top to bottom, I think that main event was really a good match, but it didn't feel as good.
Well, both main events were very similar in terms of length, in terms of sort of the drawn out, and in terms of the... In one case, you couldn't tell
the
crowd
story,
was...
Because it was two friends, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. In one case, you couldn't tell the crowd was into it if they were, and the other one, the crowd just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
So...
I think top to bottom, but I have to say if I had to choose between the best matches on ROH, and my favorite match on ROH was the Christopher Daniels versus El Generico.
Yeah,
I would lean towards ROH. So at the end of the and this pay per view is about 2 hours and 45 minutes, 2 hours and 50 minutes. ROH like 3 hours and 45 minutes, probably too long.
Yeah, well, they could have cut half of that, three quarters of that four way tag.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to give it a draw, but if I go by the intangibles, if I'd say to you, you only had to buy one, I give a very slight edge to ROH. But
I wouldn't because I would give a big edge to ROH because it also we spent $45 to watch TNA, and we spent $15 to watch ROH.
Deal. That is a big deal. And
that's huge.
I would kind of give this show tonight like a 6 out of 10. Like it's not terrible, just nothing. Nothing great, whereas I kind of give ROH like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know?
I think ROH was, for a couple reasons, I would give the edge to ROH. A, the price, it was a third of the price.
That's always a huge thing. But you are getting worse production values based on that,
we were,
right?
But B, the action was, comparable.
Yeah.
Right? It was, the same kind of,
I'm saying the price, if I throw the price out, I kind of still lean towards ROH.
Well,
seven out of 10 compared to 6 out of 10.
Because, ROH didn't have Shark Boy. So
that's true.
You know.
But they did have Truth Martini.
Yeah, still. So he's not a wrestler.
Good point.
So, okay. So that was Destination X. As you said, about a 6 out of 10, I think I agree with that.
Exactly. If you're a fan of that style of stuff, you wanted to see it, and you have an opportunity to see it, I wouldn't recommend it for $45, but if there's a way you decide to see it...
like Austin Aries said?
Yeah, that was... Fucking say what he said.
Well, Austin Aries just said he wanted to say hi to all the real wrestling fans who've ordered this pay-per-view, paid for this pay-per-view, and to the so-called... real wrestling fans that are watching this on an illegal stream, I hope you listen up, but I also hope you choke on whatever unhealthy food you're eating.
Yeah, exactly. This is just awesome.
That's when I looked at Mo and I said, Mo, you bought the show.
Yeah. But in truth, though, I will say that we ate the same shit tonight.
I know. It was unhealthy, too, but still.
It was unhealthy, but it was pretty good.
It was
wings.
Good. Yeah, it was all right. Some chicken.
Anyways, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say to somebody, it's a show to avoid, but I'm also just going to say it's not a show to go out of your way to see, right?
Exactly.
6 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 out of 10. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You just, whatever.
If you're a fan of RVD,
Austin Aries, Evans,
that type of thing, then you'll probably really
know. And hopefully they'll put out a best of, where the match, some of these will be on a compilation with other great matches.
And you know what? You could even, honest to God, if they even went into that main event and sweetened the sound a little bit, sweetened the crowd a little bit, I think it'd come across much better.
I do too. So that was Destination X.
All right. Now we're only bearing big news this week. We're only going to do a one show week this week. Our schedule's Addy is back to work. He's had a little vacation. Lucky son of a bitch.
And the Calgary Stampede is on here.
Yeah,
so
the Calgary Stampede.
I'm going to be drunk for most of the week. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, let's. For those of you not familiar with Calgary Stampede is a combination of Mardi Gras and a rodeo that lasts for 10 days. A big party in the city where a lot of tourists come in. There's a big North American Championship of Rodeos and fairgrounds and shows and free food. And I hate it.
Yeah, that's because people are involved, Mo, and you don't have any friends.
No, and
but for
I hate
those
people,
of us,
I hate them so much.
Those of us that like to party, have a good time, and get along with others, we do. We just drink a lot of beer.
Seriously, I just can't stand the Stampede. Fuck you, Stampede. Nothing worse. All these horses going around shitting on the streets. You get these fat fucks who are like 50 years old, who have the same pair of jeans that they only wear, these cowboy jeans, the straight leg ones, they only wear them like once a year, and they bought them 30 years ago, and they still put them on like they haven't put on 50 pounds, and they were tight cowboy jeans back then, and now they can't bend the knees, and it takes them 4 hours to cross the street. Fuck you, you're not a cowboy. I hate the Stampede, and you know what else I hate? Christmas. While I'm at it, I fucking hate Christmas. It is July. I expect to see my first Christmas commercial probably tomorrow. Yeah. I hate Christmas. Merry fucking Christmas. And you know what else? Christmas in July was a shitty idea. Whoever came up with that, lick my ball sack.
So Monday Night Raw tomorrow is going to be the go-home show for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I'm just wondering if you want to just to break this up, play a game here. And then go into the Monday Night Raw, because we probably will be doing a Money in the Bank preview here and speculating on what we'll see tomorrow with the Vince and Punk promo.
Yeah, we could play a game here. I was just trying to break up the monotony of your nonsensical rant. So if you've got a game to play, it's time to play the game.
It is time to play the game. But I am also dying in the heat here and badly need a beverage. I think it's a good time for you to sing Jive Soul, bro.
Well, no, what I'll do then, if you're going to go up and grab a beverage, I did want to extend get well wishes to anybody that goes on the Figure Four website. A fellow hosts the show, Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young, gets really sick with pneumonia for the second time this year. So I just want to really extend it to a good show with him and Les Thatcher and Will Strauss, and just wanted to extend a best wishes. Hope you get well soon, Doc Young, and just best wishes. So that's wanted to talk about that. The other thing I'll do is just before we leave the TNA realm, I guess, is we can talk about Impact and the preview for it, because we do know because they had this Destination X. X Division pay-per-view, of course, are doing a lot like what they did with the ECW reunion show, in that they're going to be putting on a quote-unquote free pay-per-view this coming Thursday. And so they've got some matches. Of course, as I said, they went off the air with Sting and Ken Anderson as the promotion.
A match, speaking of sloppy matches, a match we've seen before, and it was sloppy. There's no reason to think it will be any different this time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they've even done that stupid mic check
now,
they've shown.
Now, just out of curiosity, because I did step into the other room, did he say Doc Young is ill again?
Mm-hmm, yes.
That's unfortunate, because I know he was quite seriously ill before. So, you know, and then it was good to hear him back. Speaking of people that have been ill as well, we should just mention Bruno Sammartino.
We did, we didn't mention Bruno Sammartino, and he, apparently it's going to be a very good news story, though, in that when he's getting
he had heart-related issues.
Yeah, and he's getting a transplant, a replacement of, was it kidneys?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, was it kidneys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. His heart is the heart of a 40-year-old.
And that's what they were saying.
Because he was feeling weaker. He couldn't work out like he once did.
Mm-hmm.
The man's like 77, and God damn it, I wish I was in the shape he's in.
Oh, my God, yeah. You know.
So he's remarkable.
Yeah.
So.
And, definitely best wishes out to a...
speedy recovery sounds like it will be positive for him.
Yeah, well, and that's just it, is it? It really does sound like he's going to come out of this better than when he went in, which is always a positive. So,
on to Sting and Anderson.
Sting Kennedy there, yeah.
I mean, I guess what we're going to see here is just a continuation of the Hogan and Sting storyline. It's part of me, they don't like to have Sting lose too much, and I don't think Anderson's exactly setting the world on fire as champion.
Well,
I don't know who his next opponent would be after Sting.
Well, he's gone heel, right?
Yeah, he's gone heel.
And he's joined Immortal.
Of course, it could be a swerve.
You never know, but I mean, you could have AJ Styles
in
there.
Didn't he do this? Didn't he do that and swerve before?
I think so. I don't know, but I mean, you do have Kurt Angle. You've got AJ Styles there.
Didn't Kurt Angle win a number one contendership, actually?
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did. So that's for the probably the hardcore pay-per-view then.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. So Ken Kennedy against Kurt Angle.
Yeah, because I imagine Hulk Hogan hits Sting with a bat or something. And it'll probably be a fair quarter hour. TNA now, ratings are just the same as they always are.
Does Hulk Hogan come down as Batman?
Where does he get those wonderful toys?
I don't know. I don't know. Your mom.
Yeah. High five for that one. That was a good one.
That
was a good one.
But anyway, I do think, though, that it may do, a 1-2. Maybe 1-2-5 or something. It's, again, a show.
A strong quarter hour.
When they do those shows, though, the promote, I mean, they got the 1-3 for the limited commercial interruption, which, I mean, remember when Raw did no commercials and they got some fucking gigantic 4-7 or something, highest rating they had in there ever, followed by, like, the lowest buy rate that they'd had in forever, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, so they
and
did
I,
that.
And I do think that Destination X here is trending higher than average at TNA pay-per-view. From what I understand, so there's a slight more interest in it that way, so that's cool.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that that matters.
Well, I'm just saying that you can't necessarily correlate pay-per-view interest and obviously ratings, and you're saying the same things.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. So that's and so who knows? As I said, I think maybe a 1-2, 1-3, because they have been promoting this coming Impact. In the weeks to come, right?
Sting, say what you will about Sting, and he doesn't pull huge ratings every time he's in the ring, but when he's actually wrestling a match,
mm-hmm.
he usually pulls something. So,
yeah, like a quad or something. But and I am liking the Joker. I'm one of the few people that's actually enjoying the Joker character.
Yeah,
so
I thought this was a little strange in this last week when he's singing
Eye of the Tiger, yeah.
Getting hit and laughing a little bit, but no, I got nothing. I got no problems with the Sting.
I just think it's different. So, yeah.
so a game or some more news?
Well, I'm just going with what's on Impact here while you were away. So, and there's only a few more matches left, so I figure we might as well get this out of the way. What's been promoted? Tara versus Madison Rayne. Okay, nothing really to say there. Number one contender for the tag titles, the British Invasion against Mexican America.
Actually, I will say this: Tara versus Madison Rayne could pull a higher quarter number.
Well, that's true.
Than Anderson Sting. Anyways, what were you saying? What was the next thing you said?
The British Invasion against Mexican America for the number one contendership.
It's really funny because they've had this Mexica America or something like it, the LAX. And
yeah.
They've had this type of group for a long time, and WWE is trying to go after that Hispanic audience. There's 47...
Correctly, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's 47 million Hispanic Americans right now, and it's growing.
In a row?
In a row. No. 47... No.
In a row?
Yes. But the point is, though, is it is... I mean, that's a huge number. And TNA doesn't have any idea how to... Well, it's like they want to tap into it. No idea.
Here it is. And very simply. WWE is trying to tap into the Spanish market, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, they have Alberto Del Rio... but they have Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
TNA is tapping into Latin America by making the Mexican Americas be heels.
Yeah, but here's the thing. LAX was heels for a while,
yeah.
And yet the way that it was done, and largely because they had such a strong promo guy with them.
Conan, yeah.
You could at least see their community supporting them. It was almost like it was almost like a Canada America Bret Hart thing, though, some degree.
But it was just they were cool.
Yeah, they were cool.
You know, and this Mexican America isn't cool.
No,
it's just a Texan and another guy and some chicks.
Yeah,
and it's like one of them
is out with facial paralysis.
Paralysis.
Thank you.
But I don't even know Anarchia is the other guy, I guess. I don't know. But they're not good.
Yeah. So British Invasion versus them. Yeah. So it's a heel versus heel group.
Yes.
But based on what we saw from Doug Williams tonight, maybe they're turning face or something. I don't really know.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. I imagine British Invasion wins.
And they're both heels and Beer Money, the tag champs, right? So,
yeah.
You know, whoever it is, you probably want to get a heel to face them anyway. So who cares, right? Then you've got Joe versus Robert Roode versus the Pope in a three-way for the Bound for Glory series in a match where none of these three guys have any points.
Yeah.
So, somebody is going to be leaving, in theory, with points.
Yeah. Is there any way for none of them to leave with points?
Yes, and that's where I'm going. And that's where I think they're going with this, because they've hyped it as, none of these guys have any fucking points. If, okay, let's just say Samoa Joe...
By the way, did I mention you were at the time actually grabbing the wings from the door in the order when Doug Williams is cutting his promo, and he said during his promo, quite frankly...
Did he say quite frankly? What a wise man.
He stole your gimmick.
He did. Well, he must be a listener. But when you look at what's going to happen...
Well, he had match of the night.
Joe's going to win.
Yeah.
Joe's going to win. And get 7 points by pinning Robert Roode. Then he's going to just keep beating on him and keep beating on him and keep beating on him and get disqualified, losing 10 points. So at the end, Joe's going to have -3 and Roode is still going to have 0 and Pope's still going to have 0.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's how I think. Honestly, I think that's how they're going to go.
Especially since all three of these guys are more money than Gunner or Crimson.
Gunner? Oh, come on now. Greatest name in wrestling history. Gunner. Fuck. Anyway, and quite the guns all of a sudden on Gunner.
Oh, fuck. He's jacked up.
He's gotten a little bit bigger.
And he's getting a push.
Yeah, weird. How'd that work?
I don't know.
Huh. Weird. He must be on cocaine under Hulk Hogan's control.
Oh, that
yes,
would be
that's it. How he does it, you know.
Yeah.
Last thing announced, Double J and Karen Angle are back with a surprise for Immortal.
Yeah, that will be the title belt from
AAA. The AAA, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else.
Who cares?
Other than maybe Double J also shares his wife and somebody in Immortal got her pregnant?
It could be. Brother.
Yeah.
With Viagra. But, that's...
It sounded very much like a Russo-rific show I have no desire to see.
Yes, I know. I'll read the spoilers, after tomorrow night and
go from there, yeah. Let's talk about the other big news of the week, and somehow I missed this until you told me this.
I thought we were going to play the game.
Well, you know what? We are, but we're in the middle of news, right? So we'll get to the game, and then we'll do the Money in the Bank. It's going to be a two-hour show. You're going to get your content, unfortunately.
I would have thought that Mark Henry would have called you on this.
Oh, yeah.
But it actually was a tweet originating from, I believe, Court Bauer, that Ed Koski...
Court Bauer is a former writer for the WWE.
Yes. Ed Koski has replaced Michael Hayes as the head writer for SmackDown.
Now, what is Michael Hayes? Is he still within the company?
He's still there in the company, yeah. He's just not the head writer of SmackDown.
Is he still writing on SmackDown, or is he taking another position?
Don't know.
Is there a chance that he's going to... Okay, what do we know about Ed
Koski?
There's
always a chance.
He's going to... Yeah, we reassume the position, because he's done that before, in more ways than one. But...
But
what do we know about Ed Koski?
He works for WWE.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, but what's his history? Do we know anything about him?
He's been there for a while. He started on, I think he started writing ECW for Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Is where he started, I thought. But
now, was there anything, we enjoyed SmackDown more than Raw many times last several years under Michael P.S. Hayes' control.
Mm-hmm.
The ratings were going up. We attributed much of that to Edge. Lately, the ratings are down a little bit here over the last few weeks, and the interest seems to be down.
And Edge is gone.
I've enjoyed
how that bad boy works for Mama.
I've enjoyed the – well, I mean, but if that was the case, everybody would be gone from Raw, too, because their ratings are down even worse, right?
I don't know if they're down worse.
Well, I think they are. Like, we're doing, like, 3-1s regularly. And
yeah.
You know,
so what are they doing
they were, like, a couple years ago, they were, like, 3-3s, right? So, I mean, they're down a little bit. Like, they're
yeah, yeah, but what is SmackDown? SmackDown's been going –
But at least there was a point where they were gaining regularly.
Yeah, but there was a point where Raw was gaining too when The Rock was back. So don't
yeah,
give me that.
The Rock was back.
Yeah, but then that was the same
that
time.
That wasn't them. That wasn't their
time
booking.
With Edge and stuff. That was yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'm just
I'm
saying.
I'm talking about Edge was retiring before that when he was champion again.
Yeah,
they seemed to get a little bit.
They did.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if it's that they want a more sports entertainment feel because SmackDown's always been kind of the wrestling show among it. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what changes we're going to see. I hope it doesn't become a more sports entertainment style. But that's the logic behind it, I see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, he you know.
SmackDown doesn't even have as talented or as over a roster to work with. So I thought Hayes has always done a good job getting them ready for Raw, which has kind of been his role.
Yeah.
In the last few years.
And, I mean, he's been, you know, there for, you know, quite a while. Again, he started in 2009, you know. So, I mean, he's been around the company for a little while.
I don't really think he's ever done anything else within wrestling or even within TV that I know of. But, yeah. Okay. That's, you know.
Yeah, I don't
just,
know where, honestly,
it's just kind
I don't
of interesting
know.
News and knows. It's just kind of interesting. Oh, is it Triple H who made the decision? Knows. But I think it's interesting news, and we'll just kind of see where it breaks down from here. But be worth keeping an eye on the style of booking. Now, when does
Azima Ion?
Yes, Azima Ion.
Okay.
But how quickly is he taking over? Is it immediate?
Yeah.
So we'll see almost, I guess, immediately. Leading into this, what kind of style
we'll probably
this
know,
style change.
You know, we'll really see it probably by the fall, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe maybe after the Money in the Bank even. Who knows? I mean, but it's something worth keeping an eye on. And
yeah, well, that's just it. It's news, and it is there. And you know, again, it's we'll see. I don't know what P.S. Hayes did to if he asked for this, if they decided to move away, if, you know, who knows?
Mark Henry's been getting a push lately. So.
Well, exactly. So who knows? Maybe it's already taken effect a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, really, yeah. Okay, play the game? Is there other news that's worth talking about?
No.
It's not really a huge week here. So.
No, it's not. I will say that just a quick little note is we're coming up in 2 weeks, I guess it's going to be. So maybe I'll save that for a couple weeks away. Yeah, let's do that. Save a couple weeks. My all-time favorite Raw happened July 21st, 1997.
Okay, well,
so
we'll wait
today,
for that.
Today's the 10th,
yeah,
We'll wait maybe till a couple weeks anyway, and we'll talk about that. So.
Yeah, at some point in time, we'll talk about 1997 as a year, I think.
Well, we will, yes, in total. But that was my favorite Raw ever, so I just figured it's timely. It's July, so it's a slow week. We'll come up. But let's play the game first.
Later.
Yeah. Yes, 14 years later.
Okay, let's hit the game now. I'm going to preface this. What we're going to play today is a game we played once before called Who Said It, where basically I throw out a quote.
Mo.
And then Addy decides of the three names who's the one who said it.
False.
The time we played it before, it was quotes from either commentary or from interviews.
Or
this
from German smut films.
You wouldn't know, because then you wouldn't have gotten any wrong.
It's true.
Yeah.
Guten Tag.
But this one is going to be from shoot interviews. Mm. Now, I'm going to preface. Will you let me speak for a second here?
Well, if you can do it correctly, preface, please.
Preface?
Preface.
Preface?
Like what I do
what's
to your
preface?
Mom.
Is that a car?
It's what I do on your mom.
Oh, okay.
On her face.
Yeah. I do it afterwards with your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let me say this. I was preparing this game last night. It's quotes from shoot interviews this time for Addy to play. Unfortunately, I was preparing it on my tablet. I stepped away. Some sort of error occurred. It reset.
You got a virus from doing that tweet that you made the other day.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which kind of virus?
Is Orlando Jordan following you now?
He should be.
Yeah, he really should.
Okay. We both have Twitter accounts.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Continue with the game.
You have no idea what it's worked to, like to work with this douchebag over here.
Continue with the game.
So when I stepped away, unfortunately, it reset. Now, I didn't want to go back and spend another 2 hours preparing it because it was already like 11:30 at night. Well, it's like, yeah, and I work enough, damn it.
And you're lazy.
That too. But I didn't want to stay up and go back and do it. So what I'm going to do is, this is going to be for my memory. Largely, I do remember it. And I'm going to be quoting these people. I'm sorry if I get some of this wrong. It'll be as accurate as I can make it. So I just wanted just to throw that out there.
Just to preface, this is going to be a train wreck.
Probably won't be. I think it'll be all right.
Okay, well, then
go. The very first quote is, I didn't really want to have sex with Bret Hart. I just wanted his 56 man chromosomes. Is that Sonny?
Yeah, that's Sonny.
Francine or Missy Hyatt?
That's Sonny. No. No, that's Missy. Missy Hyatt. She wanted to put in like a test. She wanted Bret Hart test tube baby, didn't she? Missy Hyatt?
Yes. Good.
Yes.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it. Excellent.
Ding, 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 ding.
Excellent. Okay. This next one is, they're preparing a match with Onita, Japanese legend, Onita.
True.
In Japan, this performer said to him when they were trying to come up with the match.
Okay.
Onita speaks fairly good English.
Okay.
He said to him, I got it. First, I'll Pearl Harbor you. Then later, you'll chap me. It's true. I'll Pearl Harbor you, then later you'll jap me. To Onita, was that Sandman, New Jack, or Terry Funk?
Oh, that's probably Terry Funk.
It was Sandman.
Was it Sandman? Whoa.
I got it.
I'll
Pearl Harbor you, then you'll jap me later. Onita apparently was not too pleased.
No, apparently.
I love this game.
Yeah.
As I sit here and try and remember the next one.
Mm-hmm. Hurry up.
Yeah. No, I can't. I just drew. Okay, so this next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard about you.
Sure, it's pro wrestling. It's sports entertainment. Still, WrestleMania, stepping out into that, must be like stepping out into the Super Bowl on the field, or World Series Game 7, or the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, it's WrestleMania. Wow, I just about shit myself. Was that X-Pac, D'Lo Brown, or Sheamus?
D'Lo Brown.
You'd be correct.
Nice.
How did you get that?
Because I think he did shit himself.
All right. Nice. Nice job. Here's another one. Here's another one.
Okay.
You're going to like this?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
With all he got away with, I don't know how Vince and Pat put up with it. I can only guess that they liked seeing his butt naked in the showers. Was that Adam Bomb, Crush, or Kurt Hennig?
Whose butt they liked?
No.
Or who said Vince, it? Talking
said
about
it?
Shawn Michaels, right?
Yeah, talking about Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
Vince and Pat both like looking at his naked ass in the shower.
I'm going to say Crush.
It was Adam Bomb.
Adam Bomb. I figured it must have been. Was it a Chronic shoot interview where they were both together? Or
no,
what?
It wasn't. No.
Really?
No.
Hmm. No. All right. Anyway.
All right. Anyways.
I can't believe Adam Bomb has a shoot interview.
I think it was just a radio interview, if I remember correctly.
Fuck.
I was listening to it.
Who wants to interview Adam? We got Adam Bomb on the radio, folks.
Fuck, we wouldn't interview him.
Yeah.
Actually, we might have him on someday.
We might. Total
we
destruction.
Might. We have a lot of people on.
Yes.
We do have a guest lined up for today still. We'll get to them.
We'll
see. Maybe if we have time.
We'll see. Yeah, we're an hour and 20. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll go a long show. What? Fuck it. It's
well,
this
fuck
week.
It.
All right. Vince, yeah. I'd like to thank you. While I was sitting there on the beach sipping drinks, you were in some stinky arena, some lousy little town, probably telling people what to do. But then again, you'd like that because you think you're God. But you know what? I talk to God all the time, every single day. And you know what? You're not him. In fact, Vince, you're going straight to hell. Was that Jake Roberts, Hawk, or Ultimate Warrior?
Oh. Well.
You'd be right.
Say Hawk, yeah.
It was Hawk.
Nice.
It was Hawk. Nice. Nice.
Not enough like multi-syllabic words to be the warrior.
Ah.
Destrucity and such.
Yes. Destrucity. Distro City. I think that's it. I had one more, and I just can't remember it now.
All right. Well, it was a fun game. I did pretty well there.
You actually did really well there.
I'm awesome. I am awesome. All right, well, speaking of awesome, CM Punk leads us to Monday Night Raw. Punk and Vince going to have a confrontation, I guess.
Yeah.
For the go-home here. So, mentioned last week or on Thursday's show that, you know, Punk had stopped tweeting.
Yes.
Now that it's come out, he's tweeting again.
He's tweeting again.
Since he came back, I guess, from Australia, started tweeting again.
Yeah.
I think he touched down and said, you know, yeah, let's do it, Mike Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be on the Mike Rome show.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that'll be good. Because, you know.
Excuse me.
Cause,
that was my inner Howard Stern coming out there.
Yes, apparently. Yeah. Who? Anyway.
Anyways, you're saying.
So Punk and Vince now. What do you think about them doing this confrontation?
I'm hopeful that this will mean Punk will still be allowed to shoot. I'm hopeful that he will tell the bullying story. I'm not really sure what the angle is here because you have Kurt. The heel, Vince, and the heel, Punk, but who's not a heel in Chicago.
Well, I think they're
Cena. So I'm just a little confused by it. But I will say with the buildup of what Punk a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
that I don't think you can ignore the confrontation. I think it needs to occur. So.
Well, I think now, I mean, Punk's done his thing. You did the confrontation with Cena. Now you're going to do a confrontation with Punk. So
Cena will get involved, though.
I'm interested, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm really interested in it. So that will drive interest to me watching Raw tomorrow night where, you know, and then I'll watch it right away where normally I'll watch it on a, you know, PVR and delay. And there's some times where I can, you know, with skipping through commercials and skipping through kind of the did you knows and stuff. I mean, you can watch it pretty quick, the show, when it's largely a throwaway show. To be honest, I skipped through most of the Jack Swagger, you know, fucking Sergeant Slaughter shit from last week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Red spoilers, knew what was happening, great, done.
Well, there's
Move
nothing
on,
else.
Right?
So, well, there's not a single, I mean, I'm really looking forward to Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't have one other thing I give a shit about. Nothing.
What do you mean?
Money in the Bank besides Cena and Punk and this whole angle.
What about the matches, the actual ladder matches themselves?
I know they'll be good. They always are, but I don't give a shit about them.
You don't give a shit about who's going to win money? See, I like the Money in the Bank gimmick, and I do give a shit about who's holding that briefcase. Because they've probably made those briefcases mean more than title belts. They're probably, you'd probably go Undertaker's streak, those Money in the Bank briefcases, and then the fucking titles.
I would agree with that there, that history, they've built up the Money in the Bank title briefcase type thing. Well, everybody's won it. So I do have an interest from that. I'm talking with how well they've built up the characters and the storyline for those matches. I don't care. I don't care about the...
Well, what's the storyline? You're
that's
in a fucking...
The point.
Yeah, but what is the story? It's like the Royal Rumble. You don't need a storyline to have the Royal Rumble. You just have the fucking Royal
but you
Rumble.
You don't even
the
have qualifying
fucking
matches for these things. These guys are just in it, and then they're kind of... And the build-up for the Royal Rumble is generally terrible also. I mean, that's been, especially the last few years, just everybody has... There's like one preview match where they do, you know, a Battle Royal and build it up. And
yeah.
It doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I'm not...
Was the largest Royal Rumble in history.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
No, but
a lot
I mean,
of wheat in that Royal Rumble.
I don't really care about...
I need something. I need some sort of storyline.
I don't.
I want some sort of storyline if you want me to... I'll care about the matches the night they're happening.
Yeah.
But as far as... I mean, I really want to see the pay-per-view, but only for one reason, and that's Punk and...
Well, that's why I really want to see the pay-per-view.
I don't care about Christian and Orton. I'm interested in Mark Henry lately, but I can't be interested in watching him against Big Show.
I am. I'm interested in the Mark Henry Big Show. I think they did a decent enough job building that up. I think that this Christian Orton thing, I understand. I mean, I would have thrown Sheamus in the mix now to freshen it up because it's, you know what, it's it's one too many.
Well, this is what I would have done was I would have had Sheamus versus Orton.
Yeah.
And Christian winning the Money in the Bank. because that's interesting.
Yeah.
Him winning the Money in the Bank and having that, when you know he's everybody's always won it, and he's had the title for only a moment, now he has another chance at the most opportune moment, and he can play off of the Edge being the ultimate opportunist.
Yeah.
I think that would have been far more interesting.
It would, and I think, but I mean, it's not that I don't care about the Christian Orton thing. It's just, to me, this is kind of breaking point for me.
Yeah.
Is it Christian has to kind
Wasn't
of win.
Wasn't that a bad pay-per-view?
It was all submission, yeah. Right now, it's shit or get off the pot with Christian. He's either going to win the belt.
As good as he's been, this is being playing out.
Yeah, he's either going to win the belt here, or he's done.
But the problem is, the gimmick is, if there's a shitty referee call, he gets another match. Not the title.
No, he gets the title.
No, I understand it's another match.
He gets the title. Because last week at the contract signing, it was going to be that he gets another shot. But then Sheamus ripped up that contract.
Oh, that's right.
He came out, he got them rewrote and said, now if he wins by DQ or there's a shitty refereeing or whatever, then he gets the title.
Yeah.
So they can fuck him out of that way, like, you know what I mean, like give him the title and give him a Kendrick win, right?
Yeah.
So, which again would suck, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? And because I have a feeling that's how they're
multiple rematches several months in a row for pay per views is not in the modern era how you need to build up matches.
No, exactly, and that's where we're at now. Is that they're. It's boring, it's mundane, it's time to move on, and again, if Christian wins the belt, then okay, maybe they have a rematch at the SummerSlam or something, but I mean, with a different dynamic finally, but if they just have this other, you know, if Christian loses, they gotta move on.
The thing is, you could do is Christian getting himself disqualified several matches in a row then to hold on to the title. You could have him being the Ric Flair, throwing people over the top rope type deal, though not that.
Well, no, obviously, but
that idea, right? That Flair.
Like Steve
would
Austin used to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Stunning Steve, and that's when Ricky Steamboat and him used to have that. Where over the top
Ric
rope
Flair
was legal.
For many years used that. Right?
Yeah. So, but you know, honestly, I don't know. I just think I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm not going to hate it when it happens.
No, I know. I think it'll be good, especially. Yeah. I mean, they have great chemistry, and hopefully Orton is 100% healthy here.
I was already looking forward to the ladder matches, and now they've got this punk thing.
I've seen a billion ladder matches.
Yeah, they're good.
I care. Yeah, they're good, but but they don't sell me on a pay-per-view anymore, is my point.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're good, they don't sell me.
They will for me.
They don't. And like I say, I don't have any storyline or any care about the character development of the people in it. It doesn't really do anything for me. Punk really does it for me. I wish there was something else I gave a shit about, but it doesn't matter because I really want to see the match.
See, I just like who's going to...
And I expect a good event. It was possibly the event of the year last year for those few people that ordered that, or was it this one or TLC that was?
No, it was Money in the Bank, but nobody ordered it. No, it was really good. And
last year, didn't Kane cash it in the same night to win the title from Rey Mysterio?
Rey Mysterio, that's right, yes, because then you didn't have the two Money in the Banks there.
And that's kind of what it makes me wonder if they're going to do that right away because...
with Punk.
With Punk or even the next night or something, right? Like some way that having two people run around with it makes no sense. What would be really interesting was if here's a storyline idea. If they were able to get somehow the same guy won both briefcases and had two of them.
Right.
I think that would be a new twist, an interesting idea. And then you have only one guy with it, but with two chances.
Yeah, they could
like
do that down the road, definitely. Yeah. I don't think you want to blow that load right now, though.
We're leaving that one.
Nothing. You don't want to be doing that right now. That's an idea to do down the road when this pay per view has had a few, right?
Then they won't have blue balls.
Yeah, exactly, right. So, but I just think that the ladder match are good. The intrigue of who's going to get the briefcase. Is enough
when
the event is on
that night. I'll probably be interested 1 week from today. Unfortunately, I have to see you.
I know.
But no, that actually, and when I'm watching it, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But yeah, the build up, I'm not really excited. Like I say, but maybe they can sell
there
me
is
here,
no
these
build
next
up.
Cup up.
There is no build up. That's what I'm telling you. It's like the Royal Rumble. There is no fucking build up.
I'm very excited about it.
If
you'll remember correctly, this last year I was like, I'm not watching Royal Rumble. Then you're like, well, I think I'm going to order. I'm like, I'm not. Fuck it. I'm coming over.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I might get this time, where it's like, oh, that bonus. It's like, it's the Royal Rumble. I can't wait. And I might get that, but at this point I don't have it, except for the Punk thing, like you say, which has sold me on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and the I mean, obviously he's talking about Punk. That's what's gonna sell the show to more people than it would have had that not happened. I mean, it's buys, it's there. They're gonna have this confrontation, and I mean, so what do we got? We've got, let's look at it now. We've got the we talked about Mark Henry is fighting the Big Show,
and Henry has to go over.
And because Henry
is largely being set up as that next opponent for Orton as well.
Exactly, and that's why I'm thinking, I don't know if you hold off on that, if you do a few more of these bigger matches with Henry and go that way and kind of hold that off until maybe, you know, September or October with Henry, or if that's going to be him and Orton at SummerSlam.
I would lean towards SummerSlam at this point, but
yeah.
I, like you say, that clause and that Christian storyline, I think it's probably just to sell this pay-per-view and create interest. But it could be because it's part of a longer storyline, too. It's difficult to tell.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know that it's part of a longer storyline after the news that we've just had with Ed Koski replacing Michael Hayes, right? So
they had in line, and ultimately we know who has the ultimate say on everything, and it's not Ed Koski anyway, so we'll see.
No, but it's also SmackDown.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, who knows, and we'll see how that goes. But really, I think that's... you know, that's largely, as I said, Mark Henry's going to go over. I'm interested. He's been a good character lately, so, you know, that's going to be good.
I'm enjoying Mark Henry lately, yeah.
You've got Kelly against Brie Bella, I guess, or Nikki Bella, Brie Bella,
I care about
I guess,
that as much as Tara and Madison Rayne.
So, I mean, that's just there, whatever. Yeah. That's going to happen.
Like bathroom break.
Exactly, right? And then you've got the two Money in the Banks.
Yeah.
You've got...
So, name the participants in the SmackDown
one. SmackDown Money in the Bank has got Heath Slater. Mm-hmm. Justin Gabriel, mm-hmm. Sheamus, mm-hmm. Wade Barrett, mm-hmm. Sin Cara, mm-hmm. and who else? Kane?
Yes.
Kane. Is that the six of them? Or is that
five? I thought there was eight. Aren't the Usos in it? Because they're beating Gabriel and Slater all over the place.
No. We'll talk about the Usos a little bit. But they... they're not in it. I'm just kind of going back and forth in my head who was on the in
modern technology. Look this
in the
up.
Ring. Well, I'm going to. I'm just doing that right now. I'm just thinking in the ring who was there. But when they did that thing on SmackDown, when they had all of them, and then Sheamus came out with the Daniel Bryan's in it.
I thought you mentioned him. No.
No.
Okay, one more then. Is eight people too many? Would it be better at six? What do you think on that?
I don't think it matters the way that they do these things now that it's just, you know, like we talked about with the three-way, how the three-ways are actually just a one-on-one match, but...
how they'll have somebody go through a table or something, be out of it for 15 minutes, and it's essentially a one-on-one match.
Yeah, and it's the same with these ladder, with the eight people, it's just more spots going on, right? Well, these other guys lie through tables and shit, right?
Yeah.
So it's Justin Gabriel, it's Heath Slater, it's Sheamus, it's Cody Rhodes, it's Kane, Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, and Wade Barrett. So,
so who would you have win, and who do you think will win?
Well, you know, Sheamus, in terms of, well, who I'll pick two, because there's eight guys, right?
Yeah.
Who I think they will have win is either Wade Barrett or Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
I would have either Wade Barrett or Daniel Bryan win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think, I don't think it's going to be Wade Barrett. I think it'll be Sheamus or Cody. I think just the idea of Cody walking around for months with that briefcase will really freshen up his character again and be kind of like the Miz with it was. So I think it'd be good for him. I think Sheamus, if he gets it, is because you want to cash it in right away, quickly on something.
Right.
To forward an angle. If Cody's with it, it's for character development. So I'll say that I think it'll be one of those two. And for that reason, I would go with Cody personally. But Sheamus would be also a good choice.
Yeah, okay. And I don't disagree with Cody as well. That would have been, like, my third choice there. Just, you know, also I might have picked Heath Slater. No.
No. He's not. Unless Bret Hart has the world title, there's no reason for Heath Slater to get the Money in the Bank.
That is very true. Raw Money in the Bank has Alberto Del Rio, R-Truth, Jack Swagger, Miz, Alex Riley, Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio, and Evan Bourne. Mm-hmm. What are your two that I think? Yeah, two that you think and two that you would.
Well, if I was doing it, I'd probably go with Rey or Swagger. As my picks.
Okay.
I think Rey having Money in the Bank, I think you could sell a pay-per-view with him getting a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been champion over on Raw, so I think that'd be something. And people, I think, buy him enough as somebody who could contend for the title.
I don't know about that, pal.
Well, I think the people buy him enough.
Oh.
Okay.
But Vince knows what the people want more than they do.
I like the idea of Swagger winning it just because he's had it before and because I think he's very talented and doesn't ever get the shot. I'd like to see him get another chance.
Do you think he could be the one that cashes and loses?
He could be as well. That could be something they do with him. If I was booking it, though.
No.
Who do I think will win it?
Yeah.
I think it'll be Alex Riley or most likely Alberto Del Rio. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that Alberto Del Rio is going to win this thing.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
It's his destiny?
There's so many reasons. We've been hearing for months how he was going to be facing Cena at SummerSlam, the destiny thing, the fact that he won a number one contendership leading into this pay-per-view and then lost that spot because Punk was reinstated. They're high on him. His in-ring has been better than I expected it to be. A lot of people didn't think he'd ever pick up the WWE style. I think he does just fine in ring. I mean, like that match he had with Punk and Ray was very, very good at the three-way on Raw.
Kind of getting bored with him, though.
I think there's still potential with the character.
Well, there is. I'm just kind of getting bored with him lately. I mean, if he gets
it,
maybe he can refocus.
He's not as hot since he's been on Raw.
No, exactly, right? So,
I got no problem with him, though. Okay. I mean, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, okay.
I could see Riley winning it, though.
Yeah. That's okay. So who do I think?
Yeah, and who would you do?
Your mom. I would.
Would
I
would do her.
I'm like you. I think that Alberto Del Rio.
But I thought she was paying you.
Would win. Yeah, she is. get the paycheck. I would have. I think Alberto.
You work in finance.
Yeah, that's right. I think Alberto Del Rio is going to win, or. I could see Rey Mysterio winning mm-hmm. is who they pick there. Who I do have win it is I have Alberto Del Rio probably win it because I think he could use that. He won the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. You know, he could win the Money in the Bank. Or I have Alex Riley win it. Mm-hmm. And I would say Alex Riley would be my first choice to win it. Doing something that his previous mentor did the year before.
Didn't you have that conversation, something similar with this, on Twitter with somebody? Talking about how interesting that would be to have him
just have
repeating
him
the kind of the gimmick that his mentor, who he's feuding with,
had. Right now he's got it. You had it last year. And I mean, who knows? You could even put it up if you want to have a ladder match at SummerSlam between the two and mm-hmm. put that Money in the Bank on the line.
Sure.
I mean, I remember...
It doesn't have to be a ladder match. It could be any kind of match.
I just think you do a ladder match. It's like, I think, didn't RVD and Shelton do that? Intercontinental title versus Money in the Bank or something?
I believe so, yeah.
There at a Backlash or something. I don't think Joey Styles was calling that one. But I think that it was...
He's not good enough to.
No, he's not. No, he's not. So, but I think that... That's who I would have anyway. I like the Alex Riley story. And I like having a baby face hold it. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been, you know, Kane was a heel. Miz was a heel. Still is. And then you think of, like, the CM Punk. I guess he was a baby face when he won it.
Both times,
he
was a baby face.
He turned heel on the second one, right? That's it was his slow heel turn. Yeah.
Well, it really does come around to one of the things that's nice about Money in the Bank is the ways that they can cash in the belt or the title. I don't feel like I've run out of storylines in my own head booking it, so I'm sure they haven't either. So that's cool.
I don't know about that.
Hopefully they haven't. There's still fresh ideas and fresh ways they can use that. Now, we. do have to look at something very interesting for me. And that's that the name, two names that we didn't pick are R-Truth, who recently had a title shot, has been getting a push, and neither one, we don't think they're going to do it, and we wouldn't pick him. So why do you think that is?
Because his time has come and gone, and, you know, it just, he's had his matches, and then that's it. And yeah. He's a comedy guy now, and he's Little Jimmy, and da-da-da, yeah. And Gewurz has got a hold of it, and here we go with him. We're just going to see R-Truth slow
descent. Now,
if he was to
spell Money in the Bank, how would he do it?
I don't know. With a K. But I think that, I think Gewurz has got himself a hold of this and going, you know, I can make people ha-ha with
this,
exactly. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and he often does. He often takes a character and goes, oh, I want that character because, I can make people laugh. I can, you know.
Yeah, I can make the ha-ha
that,
with
know,
him doing
gold
his
dust and
yeah, moppy and all that shit, right? Exactly. I mean, so that's where he lies
now. The other
now,
name,
so.
Though, is that we neither of us would have picked or think they'll pick. And this is an interesting one because he had it last year. It's what got him over. There is the storyline of him having it again. Plus, they do apparently want to push him, and that is The Miz.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is? In both directions, why you wouldn't go with it and why you don't think they will.
Well, I think that with Miz is with Alex Wright. I think when you talk about two-time Money in the Bank winners, like, name them.
Punk.
And Edge. Like, it's been done.
And did Edge win it twice, or did he just get it the second time?
He won
time?
It twice. No, everybody who's got it has won it.
No,
well,
he
no,
got,
no,
he got
yeah.
It from, Anderson.
That's right. He beat Kennedy for it or something.
Yeah,
but still, he's had it twice.
Kennedy was
going to
win it.
So the multiple man doing it and doing it 2 years in a row, you know, Punk did. It's been done. It's not a new. So that's why I didn't go with it. Is because been there, done that. I mean, Miz of those eight guys would probably, when you talk about Del Rio and A-Rai, I would say number three on my list would be Miz.
He probably he doesn't need it theoretically as much as some of those other guys. Is that another thing you're thinking, or?
Well, no, I think I just think that there's more in him, in his former protege getting it, and that frustration than there is with him actually getting it.
I'm just not sure about Riley in that spot. But, yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with it. Okay. Then on to where we talked about what they might do with Cena and Orton. So I guess it's just the main event to talk about then?
Christian and Orton, yeah. Now it's the
Cena and Orton, ridiculous. They'll never wrestle each
other. That, no. They're on different brands for one thing, so they don't cross those. And I don't think you'll ever. I mean, you got to save that match because it's going to be special when Randy Orton finally fights John Cena.
Just do
for
things
the
like
first time.
Just do things like have them tease going off against each other at Royal Rumble to no crowd reaction.
Yes, yes. If they look at the sign, people will be interested.
Or not.
But yeah, that was awesome. But anyway, that's. I mean, so. We looked at you're right at Christian and Orton. So now we're Cena and Punk, and that's really as I said, that's the draw, that's the allure, that's what 90% of this is about. Mm-hmm. Is Punk and Cena, and so what do you think? What do you see happening?
Well, let's. Do you mind if we go through and basically break this down on everything they could do?
Yes.
You mind?
I do.
You do?
No. We're already an hour and 43 minutes. Let's a little more.
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay, let's
Seriously,
go.
Seriously, once everything they could do, there is...
Well, there's lots of possibilities here. I mean,
there's a billion and one possibilities.
Well, that's just it, right? So, I mean, so Cena beats Punk clean.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
So, what happens if Cena Pink beats Punk clean? What's kind of the storyline there?
There isn't one. They move on to Alberto Del Rio. And
it's just a way to get him out of
the
company.
This was a one and done for... And again, we'll know more tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. After what's said between Punk and Vince.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we'll get a better feel of it.
But let's go the opposite
way. That is a possibility.
That is a possibility. Cena beats him clean, move on to Del Rio. Okay, let's go Punk beats Cena clean... Nothing else happens, the show ends. What goes from there? What does that mean?
Well, it just means the next night on Raw, Cena's fired.
And so he's gone forever.
And you have to do vignettes to for people, you know, asking Punk to come back. Right? Or what's Punk doing? Or you can show him doing different things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to you know, say something like the Maryland Wrestling Federation. Right? No, I'm absolutely serious when I say that. Or Massachusetts Wrestling Federation, whatever John Cena's dad owns.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's fucking Cena's dad.
Yeah.
And he defends the belt there.
Yeah.
Right? And you got it. And then you have indie footage, right, of CM Punk at an indie event.
So essentially, though, we're assuming then that means that Punk is staying with the company.
He's re-signed.
Yeah.
Punk is re-signed.
You already think you're assuming that already?
Yes.
Okay. I think it might be a way for them to go, hey, we can maybe move on to having just one title because that's what we need to do anyways. Isn't that a possibility? He takes it, leaves with it, and he's gone for however long, 6 months or a year. Then you only have one title. It becomes more important. And then when Punk comes back, you can have a unifying the title deal. Is that something they could do or will do?
You know what they do. You know what you do. No, here's what happens. Punk leaves with the belt.
Yeah.
Okay, the next night on Raw, you have a 20-man battle royal where the final two participants fight the next week on Raw. And the winner is the new WWE champion.
Or even better yet.
Of them is Rick Martel.
Okay, or they just have Eric Bischoff give it to Hunter.
That works too. And then Bubba Ray Dudley can be.
No, seriously, though, is this...
No.
Is there any chance that this is... No, you don't think so?
Not with Vince's ego, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
Especially now that he's put himself on TV. No, it is... No, there's no.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I don't think that they're thinking that way, because then it looks like someone got the better of Vince.
Well...
Yeah, and that won't happen, so... No.
Okay.
You know, that's why I say that. But... But the other thing is, you know, Punk leaves. Yeah, I guess it's, you know, that is a possibility. I don't know if it's a strong possibility, but
no,
I'm
not saying it's a strong possibility. I'm trying to throw out everything that could come out of this.
I can't even say that it's not a strong possibility, because if he has resigned, he's staying, right? Everybody seems to think that's in the know much better than we are, that you know, we're talking about like a six-week hiatus. Because let's be honest here, is that PW Insider is really the only people that were going, you know, Punk's gone, Punk's gone, Punk's gone, he ain't resigned, he ain't resigned, he ain't resigned, right? And so... everyone else seems to think, is admitting they don't know for sure, but they're seeming to think that, you know, Punk's going to take about 6 weeks off.
Okay.
You know, so you could do that.
I think you could do that. I think if you do that, I think you want to leave it for longer than 6 weeks. I think the idea of him being gone for 4 or 5 months and then coming back and doing that makes that match that much bigger. But then again, we know they don't have the patience to do anything for 4 or 5 months, unless it's a Mania main event. That's actually a storyline we should
little
get to.
Little patience.
That's yeah. Something we should get to talking about. But okay, how about the other idea of Cena winning the match?
Saw your mom there.
Let's talk about Cena winning the match and having somebody cash it in that night and beating him for it. Is that a possibility? And if so, who would that be?
Well, that would be probably Alberto Del Rio then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's a possibility. That's stupid.
Is there any chance they do that with the SmackDown roster?
No. You did it last year with Kane and Ray, for one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is, so you don't necessarily want to do it again and on... I mean, you could do it on the SmackDown side with Sheamus wins and cashes it in.
Or if Kane wins again.
You could do that, right?
If Kane wins again, that becomes his gimmick.
Well, yeah, you could. You could. But I don't know that Kane necessarily needs a gimmick at age 57 or whatever he is. But
he is... In that match against Henry, he was looking... They had a close-up of his face.
And yeah.
Yeah, he's really looking it now.
Oh, speaking of which, we didn't talk about this on Thursday, but Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even watch it in HD.
Yeah.
And it was like, whole, like, he looked like a grandfather. Like, they kept putting his, and I don't know how much of that was on purpose, because especially when you had 2 weeks to edit it, mm-hmm. and he would have seen the final cut before it went to air,
and
sure,
we know
right?
how egotistical he is about
self-conscious.
His appearance.
I don't know if, and just the way that it was, like, you know, you can't be embarrassed. They were going on, like, you know, you're slipping here, and they talked about, you know what, when Vince McMahon dies.
Yeah.
Is, you know, and they played that on, like, the SmackDown Rebound and stuff when they do the Raw stuff, Raw Rebound on SmackDown. That's the thing. That's how it ends. When Vince dies, they don't say doofus son-in-law and whatever. They need son-in-law, doofus daughter. But they just say when Vince McMahon is dead,
right?
And then you flash to showing his face where he looks. I'm almost thinking they're purposely making him look old.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. Maybe... Stephen Hunter influencing the production people? I have no idea. But it is interesting.
Here's a possibility though for you. What if we're talking about it being part of the storyline and whatnot, but what happens if Punk wins the belt, is going to leave the WWE, okay, because this is sports entertainment here now. This is how this is going. But Punk wins, okay, and... Cena,
okay.
Of course, is in the ring after Punk wins, and Vince comes down to go, "You're fat," and grabs his chest. And has a heart attack.
No.
And he's on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And now
they've wanted to do this angle before.
I know.
And they couldn't quite pull the trigger on it for one reason or another.
Because the trigger was pulled in real life.
Yeah, exactly. And because it didn't get over when they did it with Ric Flair.
Well, no, I don't think that had anything to do with it at all.
True.
I don't think they even knew that existed. So, but it's... The thing is, the only reason I could see that is just, again, because it's sports entertainment. And the fact that they're talking about Vince being dead, and the fact that they've really been, they're focusing
on... Hunter having a role, but he's not wrestling, but on TV.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, even, as baby faces, and the heel Vince coming back to gain control again? Because it...
No, I don't know. It's the way now Punk can't leave, because he feels guilty. I don't know. But...
Yeah, it's a new one.
Again, I'm just throwing that out there. So that's just a weird... I just thought of that now, and we're talking about him being old.
No, we're throwing everything out
there. The other thing is there... The other part now is... And that's Cena winning, cashing money in the bank, and I don't see that. That's... They're not...
They haven't built to that. Can the guy who wins the SmackDown one cash it in for the Raw one?
I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea.
I did hear Brian Alvarez say that what you do is have CM Punk win, and then Vince force somebody to come out and try and get him for it, and when he fails... Then have the other guy come out and try and get it from him.
Yeah, and he succeeds.
And he succeeds.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I love that.
That's
idea.
Where you get Wade Barrett.
I was actually
Barrett,
thinking
Wade.
That myself. It makes Punk a major babyface.
Here's an idea.
Tell you the truth, he could beat both of them and still leave with the title.
Yeah.
Also make him a major babyface.
That's true too.
You know,
and if you want to do it, if you got time, then then what you do. Is the first person to cash in from SmackDown's Money in the Bank. Go down there, cash it in, beat Punk. And if you got 15 minutes, then you have Danielson win the SmackDown Money in the Bank. And you get Danielson versus Punk for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
And another possibility is, how about this one? It doesn't matter if it's Cena or Punk.
It's the worst idea I've heard ever.
It doesn't matter if it's Cena or Punk.
You suck.
You have this SmackDown guy come down and win it right after.
What?
Okay, it doesn't matter if it's Cena or Punk. You fucking quit talking. You may know what I'm talking about. You have the SmackDown guy come down and win it. Say so you have, Cena or Punk wins it. So you have the SmackDown guy come over. Now they have both world titles. Then you have the Punk guy immediately or the Raw guy immediately cash it in and win it back. You don't have any money in the banks going forward, but you have both titles on both shows again.
Right,
you know,
right.
That type of a deal.
You could,
There's a lot of possibilities left with the Money in the Bank. That's what's interesting.
There are. I think the most likely is the Alvarez one with the double...
I could see that if they want to make And that's where really this Punk promo tomorrow, and what, excuse me, whether or not he's pulling any sort of babyface turn out of this matters. Do they need another strong baby? Who's the second star? Is it Ray? Is this number two babyface on Raw?
Probably then, is Ray and then Alex Riley.
Alex Riley. They really
Kofi.
They really do need to pull the trigger and get somebody else.
Well, there's also the double turn possibility, right?
That's another one, yeah.
You know, doing a double
turn. As unlikely as it is, we can't not throw it out there.
Well, it does seem very unlikely that they'd be giving up the merchandise money of John Cena right now.
Well, I think it would be a great idea, but that's my opinion. It has been for a while.
It is.
But you know what? I also think that would be poetic justice to do it in Chicago. With a double turn of Hart and Austin occurred.
Yes,
at
exactly.
13.
It'd be in the same building, probably,
yeah.
Too.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, the Rosemont there. So, but yeah. Well, that's the whole card. That's the whole card. So,
okay, we have 5 minutes left. We have the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Yeah, we
want to
end
to the guest. That'd take about 5 minutes.
Well, we want to end on the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. I did want to get two other quick hits.
Okay, I have one, too, I wanted to actually get to.
So, just one quick hit on the Usos.
Yes.
Have you seen the Usos since...
I didn't catch their full match.
Have you seen their entrance?
I didn't see the entrance. I just saw them in the ring. I saw their just a little bit for like just a second.
Yeah.
I was kind of going back and forth between that and...
Oh, in the football game, yeah. They're going with... right now, they come out and they do the haika.
Yes.
Yeah. The sort of... war chant from Samoa, and they're really starting, they're not going wild Samoans head shrinkers, mm-hmm. Like they're not savages that can't talk or anything, but they're getting back to being Samoan. I remember when they debuted, they said, you know, we're not your Samoans that, you know.
Well, isn't so more like a Samoa Joe thing, where Samoa Joe was coming out for a while to... You know, they had the guy dancing and stuff like that.
Well, just the two of them that came out, and they do their chant at the top of the ramp. And
embracing their heritage.
Yeah, and then they come down, and that's what they're doing, because then they're still coming out smiling and talking and stuff, but they're doing it, and they're starting to get a bit of a push and are winning.
Yeah.
And they look like a team.
They look like a team.
So there's
absolutely no reason for them to be there then.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, I just thought it is another undercard thing that's a bit of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
That's there. So I thought I'd bring that up, that's a thumbs up, it's a win for them.
Okay.
The other one, Silent Rage, Andy Levine.
Okay.
What are you thinking about him?
I'm thinking that he's not ready. I don't know that the gimmick will get over. Is he silent but violent?
No, he's got silent rage.
Oh,
yeah.
My mistake.
All of a sudden, he seems like quiet and there.
He got ruthless aggression.
And all of a sudden, he snaps, and that's the gimmick. Is all of a sudden he snaps. So he seems like he's harmless, but then all of a sudden he snaps, and he has rage.
Is he gonna go? Ah!
I hope so.
Yeah.
But the thing is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat caught a hell of a promo for him.
Okay.
You know, doing the in the training thing, and they're keeping him fresh because I mean it looks like they're gonna
They're keeping him around, which means that he's not going right back to FCW.
Well, he is in FCW, and that's the thing. That's where this footage is being. That's where his footage is being filmed.
Yeah.
And but I don't know that he's appeared on their television. I don't know. Well, I guess he came from there though.
Yeah, he came from. That's always their pick.
Yeah.
He came from FCW as well. Signed.
But that's. They're keeping him around, and I like the fact, again, it looks like there's going to be a season two of Tough Enough. So
is it what I heard that they're not filming that at the same location, or was that NXT that moving the location and continuing to film it? I heard something about this.
I don't know. NXT just is filmed in whatever arena SmackDown's in.
Yeah, that I heard that they're doing something where they're filming NXT in Florida or something like that next
year.
Oh,
maybe. I don't – who cares?
Yeah.
It's NXT.
Yeah, good point.
But no, I mean, if they're...
What are you talking about? That's a groundbreaking television show.
I know.
New concept.
Groundbreaking new concept. But I think that it's going to be something where...
It gave us AJ.
It did give us AJ. And
she likes Xbox.
I like her Xbox.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's good they're keeping him around. I don't know if he can debut. Apparently he's nowhere near ready. So that kind of scares me. But at least they're... keeping him there. And I don't think you need to do it every week, though. Maybe every other week. just kind of...
There comes a point, though, where he needs to get on camera, and he might get that Maven pop once, but that doesn't mean fuck all, because where's Maven
now?
Oh,
he won't get the Maven pop. He's nowhere near...
Well, I know he won't, but you know what I'm saying. You get my point, is it doesn't matter if they're doing something to get him over now. If he's when he comes out, he is not near ready.
Well, that's
it. And long-term, it's going to mean fuck all.
That's right. I just like that they're keeping him at least around in terms of people. Don't forget about Andy, you know.
Yeah,
and
yes.
That's why I think, but I think you could spread it out more and do it maybe every 3 weeks,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to, because this is twice in 2 weeks now they've done this.
Well, they also
I like how
they
have
Johnny Curtis or whatever, or,
oh,
you know.
Fuck.
Is he any more ready than Andy Levine? Probably not.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. He is. He's got more ring time, yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean he's ready, though? I mean, there's a difference.
If you ask,
okay,
he's more ready
than Andy Levine, but is he ready to be there?
I think I'm more ready than Andy Levine.
Probably.
Yeah. But Johnny Curtis?
To be a job guy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm already sick of that stupid shit.
Like I say, it's just a rib on Ryder.
I take the cake.
Speaking of which, Ryder, you had something you wanted to say.
Woo, woo, woo.
It does appear that there is a storyline of him coming out and saying that.
He come out on Raw, yeah, and with the tag champs there. So I don't know if they're talking about maybe getting him into a group.
Mm-hmm.
With Ryder, Otunga, and McGillicuddy. I don't know. To me, what makes sense, because Nexus obviously is done,
yeah.
With Punk being gone, or Punk, even if he changes up, I mean, you're not going to have Nexus. Mason Ryan needs surgery.
Oh, does he? I thought they were going to repackage him just.
No, surgery. He got hurt, and he needs surgery.
Oh, that's right. He got hurt, and that's why he wasn't on show.
He was trying to rehab it, and then he tweeted
right.
that, no, he can't. He's got to go to the doctor.
Yeah,
he
was jogging.
Rehab. So he must have been jogging and slipped on some ice.
Yeah, he got
but,
hurt.
But anyway, it's when you – so he's gone from it. So it's really – it's Otunga and McGillicuddy. I think what you need to be doing is you could maybe have Otunga as Zack Ryder's comedic foil. But I think you throw McGillicuddy
away.
What
is the storyline with Ryder, other than he comes out on the stage every week?
We did it once. So there
isn't that's what I've heard, though, that is the storyline.
Well,
I
don't
know. He comes out on stage, says that.
That's he did it once, so who knows?
But that's what I've heard, though, that that's what he's going to be doing every single week, that's the storyline, that they don't have anything further at this point. But the idea is he comes out on the stage and says, woo-woo-woo, you know it, and leaves.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, at least it's something.
Gets his catchphrase over.
It's more, it sells his shirt.
Yeah.
Spikes his hair. Anyways.
But I think you could have Otunga. I think,
Twitter.
To me, what you do is you have to take McGillicuddy.
Like show.
You have to take McGillicuddy away and have him back as Joe Henning.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, so so that's Ryder. Trying to think of if there was anything.
Let's talk
well,
about.
Were you a quick hit, you said?
I'm not even necessarily quick hit.
We don't have a lot of time here. We're over 2 hours.
Doesn't matter. We can go 3 if we want. What? Is our sponsor going to tell us we need to cut the
60
commercial
minutes
break?
Every day.
Jesus
Woo!
Christ.
Fame of our tech.
Folks love me. They'll keep you listening.
Love you. And yeah, all 14 of your Twitter friends. Like,
I've had the thing 3 days.
Like, well, yeah, so have I.
Now you've had it 6 days.
185 friends, thank you.
long term, I still say I'll
wrestling,
beat you.
Wrestling
beat
fans,
you.
Too.
Let's... CM or John Cena.
Yeah, I know
talking
him.
About The Rock in Australia.
Uh-huh.
That was on YouTube.
Can we talk about CM Punk in Australia?
No, let's not do that.
Aww. That was a great promo until
we
dropped
care.
The
we
fucking H word.
We have covered...
I
we
know,
ignored
it's a
this
little,
last week. And
after,
covered,
your, after I saw your tweet, I know it's a little too close to home for you.
No, it's just that...
Home being the operative word, but... He cut that promo, and it was. I just like
yeah,
the
I
fact
know,
that.
But we've ignored it last week, and we continue. To
I just
it's
like
just, it's topic. It's a topic we've discussed so many times.
Punk
so
has that
on.
Awesome porn star mustache, though.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll have that on Raw.
Oh, yeah. I hope he does.
Yeah, but I don't think he will.
That would be
he
awesome.
He just likes to. He likes to rib and do things to get over to the boys every now and then.
That was awesome. That is an awesome look, though.
Yeah, I agree. It was cool.
And he took all the finishers. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He took everybody's finishers
yeah.
except Alex Riley.
I didn't notice he didn't
he
take
blocked Alex Riley's. And then he took he blocked Alex Riley's, and then he took the Rough Rider.
Nice.
So he took Zack Ryder's, but he blocked Alex Riley's.
That's fucking great.
Welcome to the company, kid.
Yeah, well, you know what? He hurts people.
Yes. Who? Alex Riley?
Yeah, he's hurt The Miz.
When?
in a house show a couple weeks ago. Remember he had the concussion?
No.
And then
I
he
forgot.
Couldn't wrestle on Raw the next night?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyways, and that's why a couple times Miz has gotten his hands up way too obvious or pulled away from him.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he's not ready either, speaking of which. Anyways, let's talk about it, though. Let's talk about what Cena said about what occurred with the fans heckling Cena about The Rock and what he said, and the fact that it went on YouTube and he was promoting that he wanted it to. What kind of occurred for those people who might not have seen it?
Well, it's the same thing that's been happening for a while. That's why I don't know that this is necessarily news. He gets heckled about Rocky, and then he just said, yeah, Rock's not here in Australia. I'm here in Australia. Rock's a movie star.
Yeah, people were saying he makes more money.
Yeah,
he said, I'd rather make less money and be a wrestler.
Yes, but he did say a wrestler. And Vince said wrestling company.
Yeah.
So wrestling is apparently allowed to be back in World Wrestling Entertainment.
For a week or two.
For now, which is okay.
Can we call them belts?
Well, not yet. We're getting there. But, I mean, it's Randy Orton even saying, you know, I don't sports entertain. We talked about that, right? But the thaw is on now. I think enough people make fun of it. That's probably the Hunter influence.
But here's the thing.
Right?
This was coming across not in a money way. This was coming across
totally
in a bitter way to
no,
me. Now, but it's not money. Just him. This is my point, though, I want to get to. CM Punk, Randy Orton, others as well. There seems to be there's a rumble in the back dressing room, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are upset with The Rock. Do you think the performers are right in thinking that he shouldn't have the main event spot next year at Mania? Or do you think it's ridiculous? Because I think it's ridiculous.
I'll ask them all next May when their check comes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just think it's crazy. I don't understand.
But
do they not understand the business?
That Cena thing was all, yeah, but everybody wants that spot. And that's what I'm starting to see now, at least, is I'm getting a sense, a lot like I did in 1996, where until the company's not there. See, in 1996, the company was there. The company was hungry. Vince was hungry.
Yeah.
But the performers were hungry.
No.
The roster, yes. The roster that JR helped put together when you're talking about your Mankinds and your Steve Austins, they were hungry. Your Triple H's, they were hungry. And the company was hungry. Now I'm getting the sense that the performers, again, are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get that sense quite yet that the company's hungry.
I would agree with that.
And ultimately you need the company to be hungry in order for the whole thing to work.
I'll just go back with an interview I saw with Steve Austin.
A vampire? Oh.
With Steve Austin back in, I think it was 99. When was it he was gone for that extended period with the neck surgery, and The Rock became the number one face in the company?
Yeah, it was like 99 to 2000. I think it was 2000.
Yeah. And somebody asked him in this interview, what do you think of the fact that The Rock has pretty much come in, business is still going great, and sort of replaced you as the number one guy in the business? And he said, at some point in time when you've been in the business for long enough and you understand how it works, you understand that it's not a bad thing for that person to have come in and sold all this merchandise and sold all these pay-per-views, that in fact having somebody else who can do that helps you make money because you can make money with them. And it's good for you and the entire company to have more than one superstar. And so this is what the performers should understand. The Rock did in the past and will again increase the visibility of the company. And if they step up to the plate, it's a chance for them to reach another audience, sell more merchandise, become a bigger star going forward.
But I think that the backlash to The Rock isn't necessarily, say, to The Rock himself. But more
sure comes across like it.
Well, of course it does. Because it's manifesting itself to The Rock. But what The Rock represents is a time where the business was good, and so he's a star that will come in and do exactly what you said. Is gonna jump buy rates. He jumped ratings. He jumped Mania buy rate, and then when he's gone, things come down. Right now, they didn't come back for his birthday, Raw. But still, it's something that he can generate the interest because he's the fucking Rock, right?
Yeah.
But I think where it's going is they're saying, you know, I've been around here. I'm not getting my chance. I'm ready to go. I think that's where part of Punk's promo is, you know, I'm the best wrestler you have. I'm the best fucking, you put me on commentary. I kick everybody's fucking ass on commentary. I'm great at promo. Where's my chance to fucking shine? And now you got the Rock. You're instead of letting me shine at Mania, you're bringing the fucking Rock back.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where it's at. Is it's not so much The Rock, it's that The Rock's being brought back. Now, I think some of the stuff when you're talking with Orton and such, you know, with what he, you know, the when he called in and when Rock called in about that and got the heat with Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that is just part of, and that may or may not have happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. If it did, I mean, fuck. Well, that's just part of the rallying cry. You know, and even if it didn't, it just becomes a rumor where this locker room, and a WWE locker room is a lot like a sports team's locker room where they're going to stick together, right?
Yeah.
And so they stick together. And this Rock is an older guy, an outsider, coming in, getting some money, and leaving, right? And that's part of the mentality that they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and it's not even that I think it's wrong. It's just that I think it's short-sighted is kind of my point. So
it's short-sighted to a certain degree, but to another
point, don't get me wrong. But I think that there it's like you can't see the expression. You can't see the forest for the trees.
Well, no, I don't even think it's that. I just think it's that they want a main event mania. Why don't you give me the chance to do it? You know, why don't you give me a shot? I'm fucking CM Punk.
It doesn't matter. CM Punk will not draw. CM Punk has more of a chance to draw a bigger buy rate next year.
Yes.
If the Punk, if he gets a rub from The Rock, then if, you know, anyways. All right, let's do
that's
we want to
true.
Do the bullshit? Do you want to?
That's
want,
true. I'm
oh,
just saying. All I'm saying, though, is that if you started with the Punk push, right, if you kept Punk strong, that's where Punk's frustrations come through.
Well, yeah.
Is that if you just kept fucking doing this and pushed me, then yeah, I can be The Rock.
Well,
but
and that's what he believes. I'll
right?
say this: as big a fan as I am of The Rock, of Punk,
mm-hmm.
As big a fan as I am of him, his level he could reach is more like a Cena or Triple H, not a Rock or Austin, in my opinion. So,
I don't know. I don't it's Punk.
Punk has something.
Punk could be Austin.
I don't think he could be Austin.
I get that. I don't know that Rock. Rock's a different.
I don't think, I think he can be at the level of a Shawn Michaels, though. I think he can be at that level.
Rock and Hogan, you know, are the two. They're the only two guys that I've seen with just that much charisma.
Maybe
throw Savage in there. Maybe
no, Austin, because nobody, and I mean nobody, would walk to an arena, go to a corner, lift his arms, and look at that audience, command them to cheer him, and get a reaction. Not The Rock or even Austin. Not anybody, as Austin did. Nobody controlled and commanded an audience like him. So his charisma was at that level.
I guess. I don't know. I just look at it. It's different to me. I agree.
It's a different type of charisma.
That's why I say The Rock and Hogan are the two that
Punk,
that
as good as he is, he's
two.
Not at that. I would say a Jeff Hardy in the WWE had more charisma in that direction. You know, Punk, as great as he is, like I say, I think he could be a Shawn Michaels. You know, Bret Hart, really a big star, make money, sell.
Oh, I don't know about Bret Hart.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's better than Bret.
I don't know. I think Bret and HBK kind of on that same level.
No,
but,
fuck no. Are you kidding me? HBK is. I'm not on a webcam.
No.
HBK is heads and tails above Bret Hart.
How the hell do you figure that?
Oh, fuck you. How do you not? You talking about charisma?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. I'll play you fucking Shawn Michaels interviews and Shawn Michaels interactions, and I'll play you some fucking Bret Hart interviews, and then I'll wake you up, and I'll show you his fucking matches.
No. If that was the case, then there would be no reason why Bret Hart was getting second most mail to Hulk Hogan at one point when he was in a tag team, which Shawn Michaels
who
never
said
did.
That? Yeah. Who said that? Who said that?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
Brett.
Know that it's not
oh,
true.
Brett.
I don't know that it's
yeah,
not
you don't know that it is, so what the fuck are you talking about?
I suspect it is. I suspect it is, and there's the reason why I suspect it is. Because Dave Meltzer, anytime there's somebody bullshitting about shit like that in a book, will talk about it, and he never said anything like that about Brett.
Yeah.
And I'll say this.
But Brett Hart said that on page 77 of 9,000 of his fucking... You think Dave Meltzer even got halfway through to that point in his book? I don't think so.
Yes, so.
That was on chapter 94.
Because he had to fly to England to cover MMA.
Yeah.
To cover the UFC.
So he got to chapter 2. He got to chapter 2.
The foreword. He's still on the foreword. Yeah, 75 pages.
That's right.
But no. Cause,
continue with your Bret Hart love.
So he sold more merchandise. He did better house shows. He did everything in that same era. He was ahead of HBK. You can say HBK has a better charisma. No, HBK has a different type of charisma that you can't deny. Bret's charisma, though, you also can't deny because he did have success. He did get the pops. He didn't have a company around him, and neither did HBK in that era. But Bret, if Bret had still been around in the Attitude Era, you don't think he would have been as big a star as Shawn was when he came back? Of course he would have. He had a different type of charisma, but it was at the same level. If he didn't, he would never have gotten the type of crowd reactions and everything that he has and the following that is so fiercely loyal. So anyway,
yeah, Shawn has that too. I mean, Shawn's ahead of Bret, but I mean, I love Bret, but Shawn's ahead of Bret.
No. Disagree.
So let's wrap this up. Speaking of what you just spun there with the Hulk Hogan, bullshit of the week.
Well, let's give a bullshit on Bret that he has. He's had more than one bullshit on Bret. But he was really happy. Bret Hart came back the same night that he debuted for TNA. Impact Wrestling. Bret Hart also debuted that night, came back, and he was really, really happy that Bret came back because he thought Bret was so bitter, and he was so happy when he heard that Bret was back, and he heard that Bret was really happy because he talked to some of Bret's family members who told Bret that Bret was happy to be back.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, because Hulk's hanging out with the Harts.
Yeah, I think he's on the phone with Bruce Hart all the time. Keith Hart.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he was talking to D.H. Smith because, you know, D.H. did date his daughter, Brooke.
That's right. Hey, I recognize you.
Remember that?
I know your dad.
That reality show.
That was on the Hogan show.
You look familiar. And he was like, my dad's David Boy Smith. Yeah, I knew it. It's because they had, like, seen him when he was three, and he didn't even look like Davy Boy yet.
Well, yeah, he did. He looked like David Boy. He did. No, you could tell he looked like. But anyway,
but
Hogan would have known that. No,
yeah,
that
Hogan's
was.
Hogan's not in regular contact with anybody in the Hart family.
No. So
that's
all right. Well,
let's
that's
bounce for OUT.
That is going to wrap up our marathon edition here. We'll just do for the whole effing week, I guess here. So thanks everybody for listening. It's WeTalkWrestling.com. Is the website. That's where all of our blogs, our interview with DDP, if you haven't seen it, and all of our shows are there. Not all of our shows, but our latest show and some of the archives. Yeah, the archives are slowly getting built up there. It's you can also follow us on Twitter. We Talk Wrestling. @Addy_WTW is my personal one. Mo. What are you?
_WTW.
Are you _WTW? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you can email me at mo@wetalkpodcasts. Addy is at?
@WetalkWrestling.com. And that's going to wrap it up. I think that's all of our plugs that we need to get in. So thanks everyone for listening. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.